So get ready, everyone, because you are all about to go through hell together.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Never thought I'd see the day.
Time to change them.
It's a hell of a thing.
You can't say hell over the radio.
Why not?
Those are the rules.
Jesus.
You can't say Jesus either.
You better not shout. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is dead.
I'm so mad all I can do is dance.
So I guess that's how they're gonna play this. It is on. It is so on.
That's the way it is? Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
I like you so much better when you're naked.
That's a crock, and I don't believe it, and you know better than that, and I know better than that, and you should know that I know better than that.
Oh, how much fried chicken can you eat?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I smoke a lot of pot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
Roll another one.
God damn it, I love pot.
Just like the other one.
I am so big.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Smoke weed.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Roll.
Roll.
Another one.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Just like the other one.
I'm so high.
This one seems to be about.
Brunch?
I don't have another cent.
No, I have it high tonight. I want it very high tonight.
But I don't want to guard that joint.
I really don't. Sorry.
Just pass it around.
Wait and bang.
No, thank you. I prefer to get high in life.
No.
Our feature presentation.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Really, what'd you do, Kevin? What are you talking about? What are you referring to? What's the inside scoop here?
Hey, morning, everybody. Kevin and Bean Show, 533. And it is Friday, the 12th of Double December.
Boobies! I haven't seen the video that the reaction shots of Lisa and Psycho Mike are up at Kira.com, Kevin and Bean page watching. They're watching a video that I have not yet seen, and I see the horror, I see the look on their faces.
Mm-hmm. And you're not gonna,
I'm not gonna watch it. I'm not interested. It involves a man in a jar. I don't know too much about it. I don't really.
That's
I haven't
all you
heard.
Need to know.
That is enough.
Really?
Yeah, that's enough. That's all you need.
I'm using my imagination, and it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
you're right.
What I'm thinking might happen in the video is something that I would never want to see.
Mm-hmm. Right. But how do you know unless you see it?
True. I'm just not going to I'm
good
not going to watch.
Right.
I still haven't seen Two Girls, One Cup, by the way.
Good?
Yeah, I've only seen about 5 seconds of that.
Yeah.
When things start to happen, I screamed and closed my eyes.
Lisa seems to live for this stuff. I don't know why, but if you've got stuff like that, send it to Lisa at
krock.com.
Don't send it to me. By the way, if you want to call on this or any other topic, of course, the phone lines are always open. First thing on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. But the reason I bring it up is that even having not seen the video, I suspect that after the very long series of meetings that we had yesterday after the show, I suspect that my ass feels just like the guy's ass in the video.
That's possible.
That's about right, I think.
That
once
is
again,
possible. Yeah.
I think you are correct.
So we're going to have a video of us watching you get the news yesterday. That's what we're going to do.
That's about as horrifying.
Yeah. I felt like I'd been in a bullfight yesterday after that one, man. That was good times. That was Merry Christmas, Kevin and Bean is what that was.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, we have got to do our goodbye show while we still can.
Yes, you are so right. We need to schedule that, and we need to schedule that soon.
Yeah,
because it's only a matter of time.
That's our life now, my friends.
And by soon, we mean by 7 this morning. You know,
they sure have they sure have turned their backs on us. They sure have dropped the level of support that used to be present in, hey, Kevin and Bean, you guys are good guys and you do a good job and the listeners like you. That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
No. No, those were the good old days.
Now it's
next stop, Kansas City.
Well, you could be right. You might be right about that. But anyway, we can't say much more, but
good times.
If we don't get a chance to see you between now and the holidays,
best of luck.
Merry Christmas.
Stay alive.
No matter what occurs. Exactly.
All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
And how can you not when the little kids love them like that? 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. It's America's number one extruded snack. Of course, we're talking about the famous family-sized bag of the hot Cheetos. That's what you get for Kevin Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
All right, let's begin our day with Dewan from Los Angeles.
Yes.
What's up, party people? How's it going?
Very well. How's it going with you?
Good, thank you. I'm having a good time. I'm in bed. Thinking about I will probably be on TMC in the future because I think I'm famous because I call you guys all the time.
Oh, I don't know if that... I mean, you do call us and we love you, but I don't know if that makes you famous.
Because I'm on YouTube and your website.
Right.
Yeah.
We did a Cribs. Psycho Mike did a Cribs.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
At your house and watched 90210 with you.
Yeah. Everybody at the LA Train Tech got to recognize me, the guys and the ladies.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, good, good.
Go to LA Train Tech.
What is that, Dewan?
Los Angeles Train Tech College.
Oh, I see. So they teach you how to do stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
I got you.
Hey, Dewan, let me ask you this. When you do become famous and you're on TMZ, are you still going to talk to us? Are you still going to keep your same friends, or are you gonna blow them all off and just hang out with other celebrities?
Hang out with you guys.
Yes.
Oh,
that's nice.
That's great.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
All students at the LA Train Tech got to watch my videos on KRAC.com.
There you go.
Good. That's fantastic. Dewan, before we let you go, you doing anything special for Christmas this year?
Probably spend time with my mom for Christmas and New
that's
Year's.
Nice.
Probably go over to my best friend's house for the New Year's Eve party.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Oh, that sounds nice. That sounds nice. I'm just glad you're not going to blackmail Mike into throwing you a New Year's Eve party.
Hey, Dewan, it is Psycho Mike. And before you go, I've talked to you about this off the air. I've talked about it on the air. Please, I'll come over and do it if you need me to. Can you please change the battery in your smoke detector? I can hear it still while we're on the phone.
I will try to do that.
I just don't want anything bad to happen to you, dude.
Okay.
That beeping's not driving you crazy, Dewan?
Nope.
How often is that? Okay. All right.
Fair enough. All right, Dewan.
I'm good.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
By the way, tell me if it's like this at your house. At my house, when they start chirping, you never have the 9-volt battery handy to replace it with. So you just go and you just rip it off the ceiling. And then the next one goes bad. You rip that one off. Before you realize, you have no smoke detectors in your house because they're all in a drawer with dead batteries.
Yeah, that's the way it works pretty mm-hmm. much.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to... Let's go to Marcus in La Mirada. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
Hey, so my wife and I want to go to this concert on Sunday with The Cure and The Killers. We're shopping online because you guys sent us the email.
Mm-hmm.
$79 or $75 or something.
Right, $75 bucks plus Ticketmaster fees.
Ticketmaster's looking, and all of a sudden we're like, hey, there's tickets right there. Cool. On the screen that you guys sent us to.
Right.
But now, and my wife's so excited. She's like, we got them. But now we got a confirmation. They're $318 bucks a piece.
What?
Yeah, Ticketmaster is in the scalping business now with the company called Tickets Now, right?
Yeah, what's going on? Like, that's not right. My wife is so excited now. We're like $750 bucks in the hole.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on is that Ticketmaster realized that there's a secondary market, as they call it, for tickets, that there are people who buy them for $75 bucks and then decide, hey, I'd rather sell it and pocket the cash than go to the concert. So they basically have Ticketmaster resell them at a markup.
Right.
But which, by the way, is legal, and we have no control whatsoever over it. It's something that Ticketmaster chooses to do that we can't stop.
I think I would be angry, though. If
I would be too.
Absolutely. I don't blame them.
If I got into Ticketmaster and was expecting a $75 ticket, and all of a sudden they're $350, that would really anger me.
Wow.
Well, the difference is they've always been $350 someplace else. You go to StubHub or you go to Craigslist or you go to someplace else. The difference is that now Ticketmaster wants a piece of that where everybody else was selling them on other sites. Now they say, hey, why shouldn't we make all the money? So now they're scalping them too.
Right. So is that our alternative, is we go on to one of those and kind of try to get somebody else to take them off our hands?
Unfortunately.
I heard several stories just like yours, Marcus, of people that bought them not realizing how expensive they were going to be. And apparently Ticketmaster says they're not going to refund your money. I mean, they're just apparently just being dicks about it. And I don't understand, if you call back 10 minutes after you buy something that was way more expensive than you thought, it seems fraudulent to me for them to not honor your request to return them.
Right. So they're not. And do you guys know, besides StubHub or any other places, are there people calling your show saying, hey, we'll buy those tickets for $300? Because I'll give them to them. I mean, if they give me the $318, we'll hand them over.
Yeah, but there are, but we can't be involved. We can't be the middleman on selling tickets. We just can't be involved in selling tickets to our own show. We just can't.
Gotcha.
Nor should Ticketmaster, by the way. That's annoying.
And I bet they tack on those charges again.
I'll bet. Yeah, well, that's probably true.
Yeah, $150 in charges.
I think maybe it wouldn't bother me as much if they just sent you an email, a separate thing saying, hey, by the way, if you're looking for tickets, we have them.
Yeah, but if here's what
they
cost.
But if you go to their website to buy them from them, and then all of a sudden they're way more expensive, of course that's ridiculous. And Ticketmaster is a monopoly, pretty much, and does not care one bit. Not a bit.
It's true.
And we call and yell, and nothing happens because they don't care. Because they don't have to, so sorry about that, Marcus.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Yeah, it's rough. They do. They suck so hard. And I totally understand the people who say, guys, don't use Ticketmaster. Talk to Pearl Jam about how hard it is to put on a concert without. I mean, could we do a deal where you are forced to show ID that you're the person who bought the ticket so they can't be resold? Yes, we could. Could it also take 12 hours to get into the Gibson Amphitheater to see the Acoustic Christmas Show Saturday night? Yes, it would.
Yeah.
That's the problem. The room is too big. You can do that at the show box. You can't get away with that at a Will Turner bigger.
Yeah, it does suck.
So we're kind of hosed. I mean, Ticketmaster is about the only ticket delivery system that we can use. So, you know, they got our backs against the wall too. So we have great sympathy for you if you've had experienced the kinds of problems we've been talking about here this morning.
Yeah, trust us. We wish you didn't. We don't want people getting a surprise like that.
I'm still stunned by that.
That's
new this year, isn't it?
I think so.
It is. Yes, they bought this. Tickets Now or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I did some research last night because I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And they bought one of these ticket scalping places, and then now they own
both. This is the new thing, and I guarantee Lakers, if they're not doing it, they'll be doing it. And I know that, I mean, a lot of sports teams are already doing this where they see, I'll give you a perfect example. The Mariners started doing this last year, Seattle Mariners baseball team. They saw people showing up at every game with tickets to sell, the tickets to scalp, and they thought, hey, we're not getting any of that markup for those tickets when people. So now the exact same thing happens on the Mariners. A sold out game, no problem. You can go right over here to our sister company and you can buy tickets for a greatly inflated price and we get all the money. I mean, that's just the wave. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah. I can understand that, but should it be all in the same transaction?
Absolutely not.
When you go for $75 tickets, it
seems... Because I can totally see how you wouldn't notice that.
There should be no confusion. They should certainly go out of their way to keep the transaction separate. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the Kevin and Bean Show today, shall we?
Okay.
That's the least of our problems.
That's true.
Today it's Friday, so we got the movie beat, of course. Ralph will tell you about the new movies that are in the theater.
So many good movies.
Yeah, this is the time of year. I think the Day of the Earth is still coming out today, too, which is one I've been looking forward to for a super long time.
Even though Keanu's in it, it looks like it's great.
I know. Yeah.
Andrew Siciliano, talking about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. The Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. We have two of the stars coming in. We have Thomas Dekker, who plays John Connor, and we have
Who cares?
Summer Glau, who plays Cameron. She's a good Terminator, don't you know?
Yes.
She's a really good Terminator.
She is.
She's an effing hot Terminator.
She is, but she's metal. I mean, that's a bit of a problem. Your job at the holidays was to dress up as Santa Claus.
Oh, God.
Good times?
That's got to be rough.
Kevin, didn't we do that one year?
Dress up as Santa.
Did you?
Didn't we go and do a tape piece where we had little kids come? We were playing Santa at a mall or something like that, and people came and we talked to their kids or something?
I think we did. And then, yes, we did a long time ago. And then Jimmy Kimmel
we were never allowed back.
A little later, yeah. We were banned from the mall. I don't think we're the right temperament for Santa.
I can imagine.
Plus, we are going to do an auction for charity today. So we have tickets right up front in the middle for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. And all the proceeds from this auction are going to go to charity.
And it's an auction, so you'll know exactly how much you're going to spend.
Yes.
No surprises.
This is not the $75 ticket price. Nope. And we are not reselling for profit. We're just doing it for the charities. So anyway, that's coming up this morning as well on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz next.
We'll tell you all the details on the auction, on how you can get the best seats. Not yet. We haven't opened it up yet. Oh. Just after the news at 6, we'll tell you about the auction, how you can get the best seats in the house and lots of cool backstage perks. And all of the money goes to charity. That'll be coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Friday morning, Ralph joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. How are you, Ralph?
Do I hear a dollar?
I don't think we're starting at a dollar.
Sold for a dollar.
I think it starts at a little higher than that.
I want an auctioneer.
We have all the details coming up in like 10 minutes. Stand by.
Guys suck.
You can play the auctioneer if you want.
Can I?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sure. You're good at it.
You know, I had a buddy of mine who was a professional auctioneer.
Really? I've never
remember
known.
Remember our pal Ben Livingston, who used to do Shaquille O'Neal for us on the show, and Bobby Knight and a couple voices for us? He's now in New York on Broadway, a buddy of mine. But his previous job used to be professional livestock auctioneer.
He's the slowest talking person I've ever met.
You haven't seen him in action,
really?
Baby.
He saves it all for the auction.
He can just blow it up.
That's awesome.
I've never understood the crap out of those steers.
I have never understood what those guys are saying, ever.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Those auctioneers,
when they really go up. He had to go to school for it and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's talk showbiz news, shall we? Sad news yesterday. Macaulay Culkin's sister, Dakota, was run over by a car and killed.
Wow.
After stepping off a curb. 29-year-old Dakota apparently was just trying to cross the street, and someone came along, and I don't know if they caught the guy or not, or whether it was a hit and run, but...
I have heard something about that. She was not crossing a crosswalk. She stepped out, you know, basically into traffic, and the guy did stop and stayed with her and tried to help as much as he could. It was not his fault at all. It was hers.
That sucks.
Still, yeah. Sad news.
Oh, it's terrible, yeah. It's awful. 29? Yeah.
Kate Walsh of Private Practice is divorcing her husband of just 14 months, Alex Young.
What?
And she had one of those major weddings, too. That was a multi-thousand-dollar wedding. 14 months later. Irreconcilable differences have been cited.
They gave it a try.
Apparently he filed on November the 22nd. She's pretty hot, that Kate Walsh.
She is.
Yeah. Turns out.
You know that Escalade commercial she has, or that Cadillac commercial? She's driving the car. It's not whether, when you turn your car on, does it return the favor?
Yeah. I want a car that does that, but
I do too.
I've been unable to find it.
This Paula Goodspeed story just won't go away. Apparently now Paula's in all kinds of hot water with her producers for claiming that she begged them not to let this crazed fan Paula Goodspeed through on the American Idol auditions, and that's how, reportedly, Paula Goodspeed found out where Paula Abdul lived, where she consequently killed herself in front of her home.
That seems all bad.
Apparently producers have told her to zip it and no longer talk about the issue, but Paula, being as heavily medicated as she is, has ignored that request and was on Letterman talking about it. Wouldn't let it go. Retold the story that she told to Barbara Walters on a radio show. And Letterman just went off. He just, she was trying to play it down. And he just wouldn't let her. Dave urged her, and I quote, sue those baboons. This will be the biggest lawsuit in the history of network television. So he's stirring things up a little bit. However, the producer of the show, Nigel Lithgow, says, they didn't know that she was a stalker at all when they put her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Paula Goodspeed had been through an audition process with the producers, an audition process with the executive producers. We were wheeling her in as a huge fan of Paula Abdul. That is what we knew. That she was a great fan, that she was a lovely girl and a great fan of Paula.
Hmm.
Yeah. If you see the footage of her coming in, you can tell she is...
with the drawings, the life-size drawings of Paula Abdul.
Wide-eyed and bushy-tailed.
You know, I, as you're telling that story, Ralph, it occurs to me that Letterman had a crazy stalker that followed him home, if you recall, who ended up killing herself, which is a bizarre coincidence. Those two would be having this conversation.
Yeah, Dave is very stalker sensitive to those stories, as you can imagine why. Little Bronx Mowgli Wentz.
Wow.
isn't that popular with the public?
Oh, really?
Great story out of New York Post where Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz are desperately trying to sell their pictures of their newborn son to every celebrity magazine. Right. And so far, they've received thanks but no thanks from everyone.
Love it.
Wow.
Apparently, covers featuring the newlyweds didn't sell so well, so they figure it's not worth the money to pony up to get pictures of the kids. So they're having a hard time pushing off pictures of Mowgli.
It's hilarious.
No Mowgli photos.
That is bizarre that they would go, all right, everybody, bidding is open. Mm-hmm. Anyone.
Jennifer Connelly celebrates her birthday today. We'll mention her later on in Celebrity Birthdays, but there's a great story about her trying to make it through a security checkpoint on a recent flight from London. Apparently, the trip took place shortly after Halloween, and her son Kai was very excited about bringing his treats and his costume home back after a big day of Halloween in London to the States. Apparently, the 11-year-old was worried the officers wouldn't let him return with his candy. That was his concern. But he also forgot to tell his mom that he packed his costume, including his toy gun that went with the costume. As everyone was going through the X-ray machines, security told a shocked Jennifer Connelly that she had a gun in her bag.
Yeah.
And the alarms went off, lights flashed, and there was much patting down, I hope.
Absolutely.
But they sussed it all out, and everything was fine, but... Imagine you just walk through security, your kid has snuck a gun into your bag, you don't know it.
Yeah, that'd be a little shocking.
And they tell you, hey, what's this? Freeze, mother effer! Tom Cruise and Spencer Pratt. There's a combo, huh?
Are they a couple?
I don't know if you saw the footage or not, but in the Hills After Show, the hosts of the After Show,
yeah,
which are, by the way, the only people more annoying than the people on the Hills.
Yeah, they really are.
We're interviewing Tom Cruise as he was promoting his new movie and asked him what Tom thought of Spencer eloping instead of giving Heidi the big family affair wedding that she originally wanted.
They asked Tom Cruise this because
he's been married lots of times?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
I don't even understand that.
Tom told MTV that if the girl wants the big wedding, you got to do it because it's an special occasion for her. They'll be remembered forever. Then the host of the show demanded that Tom say it to a photo of Spencer and address him directly. I'm not kidding you. Tell Spencer. Tell him.
And they're
holding up a picture to his face, and Tom does it like a sap.
Spencer.
And he just goes off. Anyway, Spencer has responded now in Us Weekly magazine, saying he'll be more than happy to throw a big wedding for Heidi if Tom agrees to be his best man.
Yeah, that's
can they always
happen.
Just try to turn around to some publicity?
Yes.
Machination?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven. And more reality TV show news. I guess it pays to be horrible on reality television because Denise Richards has a new gig. She's being paid over five figures to appear at the Privé nightclub in Las Vegas to ring in 2009. She's the host of their New Year's Eve party. Just got to show up.
Five figures.
She is not a party, by the way. She does not bring excitement and joy to a room.
Not in any way, shape, or form. But I guess things are tough for Las Vegas, so they're trying to wrangle in whatever celebrities they can to host their parties.
This is not a party atmosphere at all.
Paris and Nikki Hilton have a gig doing the same thing in Australia. And Samantha Ronson and Lindsay Lohan will be doing it in Miami at a joint called The Mansion in Miami. So... all the celebrities are getting paid for their New Year's Eve parties.
That's how they make a living now.
I guess.
They don't have to do anything else.
Today's celebrity birthday is game show host Bob Barker. And please, don't forget to get your pet spayed and neutered. He's 85 years old today. As I mentioned, actress Jennifer Connelly turns 38. And by the way, someone get her a piece of cake. Big piece of cake.
Yeah, I agree. Lost a lot of weight.
She looks emaciated.
Hit the buffet.
She used to be such a full-figured, sort of voluptuous sex toy.
Yep.
Now she's one of those lollipops. Giant head on a stick bouncing around down the red carpet. Just very strange.
Back in her Inventing the Abbots days when she was hot and sexy. Wow.
Rocketeer. Remember the Rocketeer?
Rocketeer. Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Rocketeer. Yeah. And Mayim Bialik.
Yeah.
Blossom turns 33 years old
Blossom.
Today. Happy birthday, Blossom. As you can tell, light day for birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, Ralph, you suspect that lightning has fallen on hard times and he now sells everything that he can get his hands on?
All I know is I had friends tell me he was charging admission to my bat museum in my house during my party on Saturday.
That's just
all I know.
Bogus.
He was taking $5 a pop off of people to show them where the secret bat cave was.
Were you or were you not in the secret bat cave with Lisa May that Ralph did not let you into at that particular moment?
Someone had already beaten me to the punch and opened the secret door, so we just stepped through.
Yes.
That is Batman exactly. Bogusness. That's what that is.
It is. That's bogusness.
And now, by the way, that room is so cool.
It would take you a month to find that room.
How long?
A month.
I so want to see it, but Ralph won't invite me. Hey, what about this? Since Lightning, our former producer now, who's one of the guys who makes KRock.com so awesome, what about this? He's now selling acoustic Christmas tickets and pocketing the money. What about that on the website today?
No.
Yes.
Tough.
I don't think he's pocketing.
I don't know. All I know is that he's selling acoustic Christmas tickets. You tell me what that's
about. I know K&B Bay is up on the air, up on the website again, and they're taking bids. That's all I know.
This is a charity auction.
Yes.
Okay, good. Just double checking. Just want to see if I have the information
you
correct.
You weren't buying into Bean's rhetoric.
Can I see some proof of that before we move on?
The money doesn't go to me. It has to be a cashier's check made out to K-Rock Acoustic Christmas, which we'll get
cashier's
to a little bit.
Check. How convenient.
Right. Yeah, interesting. Just spread it right out to cash. That'll
Make
be fun.
Out
just
to,
cash.
St. J. Tillis Research Hospital.
Here's the thing about Ticketmaster, and we talked about this a half hour ago. Good times with them, because when you log in to try and buy tickets for $75 a piece, plus their exorbitant charges, they send you back an email saying you could buy them for $300, $400, $500, which is their legal ticket scalping company.
Here's the thing. You know, when you write to Like We Care at KRock.com, guess who? That's me now. Right. That's part of my gig.
Uh-huh.
So last night I wrote back to about 160 people, and I called about 20. And then I just realized that was taking too much of my energy. But people were really bent out of shape.
I would have been.
Ticketmaster was linking people to tickets now and saying that there are more tickets available if you pay this price kind of thing?
Here's the crap part.
Yes.
Seamlessly. They were seamlessly forwarding you. So people were calling me.
You didn't have to click a link. They went right to it.
I just bought tickets for $300, and people are caught up in the moment.
Sure.
Right. I mean, they know they've got 90 seconds to get in and out, and
we've got tickets. Click here.
Yep. Boom. Bottom, $300, and just like your caller this morning, I was answering those calls last night, and it sucked ass.
That's rough.
So I'm guessing that something will happen, you know, come Weenie Roast time. I'm hoping that this won't happen again, because this is ridiculous.
Well, here's the deal. Ticketmaster is pretty much a monopoly and could care less that we're upset or any of our listeners are upset. That's the problem.
But the way that they're doing this almost seems actionable to me.
I think so, too. But, here's the point.
Someone takes action. That's all I'm saying.
So here's the point. We are going to have an auction for seats right up front in the center for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. A pair of seats right in the center, right up front. And all of the money goes to the charities.
100%.
100%. When I said all, was that not clear?
He's just reinforcing.
It's not like the profits. It's all of it.
The Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center is one of the charities. The other one is Para Los Niños. So we're trying to raise a little bit extra money for the charity. So we're going to do an auction. And we're letting you know now that this is not the $75 price. We're not being Ticketmaster and trying to screw you over.
This isn't catch-as-catch-can with whatever seats are available either that you're paying for. These are primo seats.
Right up front. Plus, you get full car service to and from the venue, which means they will drive you so you can have a beverage or two.
Well, and we're trying to Hasselhoff's going to want to buy them. And we're trying to get Kevin to lend us his helicopter. Maybe we can fly if he'll give it up that
night.
Let's
not be crazy. We'll see. And also you get to meet, and this is put in parentheses, and I think this is probably the best part. You get to meet, and I'm not kidding about this, Kevin and Bean Show.
What?
How great is that?
By the way,
someone just called and rescinded their bid, by the way.
On our paperwork, the Kevin and Bean Show is actually put in quotation marks, which led me to wonder, is it not really the Kevin and Bean Show? How are we meeting the quote-unquote Kevin and Bean Show? It's really us, right?
Cardboard
they're talking
cutouts.
About?
Cardboard cutouts.
Okay.
We spent the last couple days going, hey, how about a better, you know, meet and greet? Yeah. How about someone
meeting Scott Weiland or somebody?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, us.
Well, so you're also going to be able to join us on Saturday night, tomorrow night, for when we're on the air, and we're going to be interviewing a couple of bands, two or three bands, I think, including AFI. And so you're going to be able to sit with us when we do that, unless you're annoying, and then we're going to kick you right the hell out. But anyway, this is the auction. You go to, how do you get to it? Lightning, you go to the street team?
Just go right to KRock.com, right on the front page. Okay. It'll link you into the KRock street team. You do need to be a KRock street team member. We're trying to filter
In order to bid, you have to be a member?
Correct. Okay. Correct. But you guys have been on it. It takes you just a second to become a member.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think you mentioned, Kevin, forgive me if I missed it, backstage passes for each night as well.
I did not mention that. You're right.
Which is kind of a big deal, kind of a big draw, the type of thing that you can't buy any other way. I mean, this is the only way you can buy your way into backstage. Otherwise, you have to sleep with somebody, and that can get messy.
Yeah, quickly.
So, I don't know how you do it, but it doesn't have to get messy.
Two front row center seats to both nights, Saturday and Sunday at the Gibson Amphitheater. Backstage party passes for both nights. Car service to and from the show. Meet Kevin and Bean. And all the money goes to charity, and the auction is up and running right now. Now, before we even announced it officially on the air and kicked off the bidding lightning, some people have already been to KROQ.com and have already started the bidding. Where are we?
That's correct. I think we were at $650, somewhere in that range. Yeah,
We started at $500 because 100% goes to charity, so then it went from $500 to $600 to $650.
So and you have to bid right in $25 increments, and again, we're only accepting a cashier's check. That way we can hand it right over to production, and they can recut the check to charity.
So they need to be able to get that today.
Yeah, that's not a credit card situation, okay. So you need to have access to funds today. Yeah.
Of liquid all right, assets.
Last question, what time is the deadline? Ooh. When are we going to have to cut off the bidding?
Good question. It's 8:30, I believe is what Alex asked us to do. Yeah.
8:30 it is. We had you in here because we thought you knew.
Dude, I'm just swimming in numbers.
8:30 this morning?
8:30 this morning.
That's a fast auction.
Between now and 8:30. That's it.
People better start bidding.
Well, it is Friday. I mean, the show is tomorrow.
Bid!
So. Yeah. So between now and 8:30, and then at 8:30, we will get the highest bid, and then we'll talk to them, make sure they're legit.
This is okay. One bid for both nights.
Yes.
You got a pair of tickets for both nights of the concert. Backstage passes, car service, yes. And you get to meet Kevin and Bean?
Let's play that down.
Can I bid? Am I allowed to bid?
There's a lot of things where I'm not eligible.
Those guys probably...
I would love to meet you guys.
Those guys wouldn't like you.
Yeah, it's probably true.
All right, so K and B Bay, front page of KROQ.com if you'd like to get in on this. And we're going to do it till 8:30. So okay. Best.
I can't speak for the rest of you, but I love black people, and I think they're awesome. Okay. Got a great story yesterday from MSNBC.com, and you love these stories this time of year with Santa's Gone Wrong. By the way, you hear about the Santa convention that's going on in Pasadena this weekend, Psycho Mike? The rogue what? Santas that all dress up and go around and terrorize neighborhood and yell things like, whose street is it? It's Santa Street. You hear about those guys?
What?
No. So we got to talk about those later.
The rogue Santas?
Yes, rogue Santas.
They've just been added to Sunday night.
Oh. But this is a great story of something that went very horribly wrong with a Santa Claus. This goes back to our conversation yesterday. Having a picture taken with a pet. And I think we have the audio for it.
It looks like your average picture of Santa posing with a cute little pet, right? But moments after this nice photo was taken at a New Jersey pet store, the Santa that you see there claims that the feline just went wild on him, scratching him and clawing him.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine? He's just getting mauled, attacked by this stupid cat. That's the best.
And this cat, turns out, it might have been a bobcat, not your average home cat. And joining us from Philadelphia is Santa, a.k.a. Jonathan Bevington, who was attacked by the cat. Animal control just found that cat that attacked you.
Oh, great.
Great.
That's a relief. And he, by the way, on the news piece, dressed as Santa.
Sure he is.
Dressed as Santa. So then it goes on.
I had a woman bring in this bobcat, and the cat was kind of stressed from all the dogs being around. And we ended up getting a picture of it, as you can see on your the picture that you were sent.
Right.
But while doing so, I took several bites in my hand and my wrist.
Did it hurt? I mean, I saw the bites there.
Felt really good. Really enjoyed it.
Great.
Were you pretty messed up?
Yeah, drew blood in several places. It definitely locked its teeth into me.
What kind of bogus photographer is sitting there in front of a camera and not taking pictures of that?
That's a good
Absolutely.
Point.
Come on.
Absolutely.
He's getting mauled by a bobcat.
Yeah, that's your job, is to preserve that moment for history.
And by the way, is anyone else worried that that's the caliber of guy we have playing Santa?
The way he talks is probably appropriate for four-year-olds. You know what I mean?
He's
just quiet and calm, but it does not make for a great interview. That's true.
Here's the thing. You've been a mall Santa,
mm-hmm.
And kids are bad, and parents are bad, and people are...
And people got to get cranky, and they've been waiting in line.
They're throwing up.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the worst gigs ever.
Has to be.
To be a Santa.
very few jobs that don't involve the sewer are worse than being a department store or a mall Santa. I can't imagine. I mean, I couldn't do it, Kevin, but even you who loves kids,
yeah,
can you imagine hour after hour, kid after kid, sitting on your lap and whatever comes out of them is on you?
No, because if you're supposed to be Santa, you can't really say anything to anyone.
No,
I mean,
no.
You can't say, hey, how about getting control of your kid? Nothing.
Right.
There's no way. There's no way. You'd be fired.
So we would so be screwed with all those kids. Absolutely. I promise you.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you that you will get that helicopter.
I'll
There's
get
no
you three.
Question about it.
How about a pony?
I'll get you three and I'll throw in a pony.
Can I get you a pony? That's right. But there have to be people in our audience who have had to play Santa at some time or another, right?
Yes. And I know because we take phone calls from people who have to dress up, whether it's at Disneyland or anyplace else. But this particular one seems like it's nightmarish because of everything that we mentioned. Everybody's frustrated, long lines.
And they get to sit on you.
Yeah.
You know? And God knows what happens then.
Yeah. So 1-800-520-1067. If you had to dress up as a Santa during the holidays, how was that? Good times? Oh, by the way, we're doing the auction for the front row seats and backstage passes for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
For both nights.
Plus, you get to meet us. And you get to meet some of the bands that we're interviewing. And you go to krock.com and click on the bid now. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's up to $800. 100% of it goes to the charities that are being supported by this.
Right.
Okay. Also, next half hour, by the way, from the Terminator television show, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, will have two of the big stars, Thomas Dekker and Summer Glau, are going to be joining us in the 7 a.m. hour. We were talking about Santa getting attacked by a bobcat.
Ho, ho, ho! Come sit on Santa's lap.
It's kind of an expensive mix between a bobcat and a cat, I think. But the bobcat took the picture, and when the picture was over, just went to town on Santa.
Oh.
Yeah. Bobcat just destroyed Santa.
And we're thinking, that's a horrible job anyway to be Santa. Even if you've never been attacked by a wild animal, it still is a bad job. And we wanted to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. And I want to start with Brian in Riverside. He's on line 4 because I just didn't know this is where Santa Clauses came from. Hey,
yeah.
Brian, how did you end up playing Santa Claus?
What's going on, guys? Lisa May.
Hey, Brian.
I ended up getting a speeding ticket that I never took care of, and
right.
Had to go to court and ended up doing community service. And the community service was to be served at a Goodwill store in Fontana.
Right.
And so as soon as I walked in, they said, go ahead and throw this on and get out on the street. And I dressed up as Santa like noon on a Saturday and was out on the street waving to everyone and being an idiot. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
I can't believe that was what they made you do. That's so funny.
There are judges telling people, hey, murderer, you're going to have to go dress up as Santa.
It was horrible, and I was trying to keep it from my friends, and my little brother read me out, so I ended up getting eggs and water balloons.
You have good friends.
I loved it. It was horrible.
They did the right thing.
Couple days in a row, it sucked.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
That's brutal.
All right.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for the call. Sean is in Los Angeles. He's on line 2 on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Sean, how did you end up wearing the Santa suit?
Hey, good morning, guys. Lisa May.
How are you? Good.
Okay, so my son goes to a Montessori school daycare kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The principal asked me last year, hey, you know, please, we need someone to play Santa. You're a new dad. I said, no problem. My son had just turned 2. She's like, no problem. No one will ever know.
Right.
I step out the door, out of the crowd. My son stands up, points at me, and goes, Dad!
Oh.
2 years old. So my wife and I have been on the whirlwind Santa Claus tour this year, trying to prove that I'm not Santa Claus because I'm stealing his childhood.
Wow.
Oh, that's rough.
Wow.
Yeah. Been fun.
Your kid at 2, I mean, I understand that little kids recognize their parents, but at 2, to be pretty aware that it's you in the Santa suit, you should be impressed by that, dude.
I'm definitely impressed. He's much smarter than me already, but like, no problem. He'll never know. Piece of cake, and he's
sure.
just out of dad.
Boom. Wow, dad. Good times. All right,
that's awesome.
That's good.
Thank you for the call.
What are you going to do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say what's up.
Yeah, good point. Let's try Seth in West Covina. He's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Seth, you got to play Santa too. How come?
Well, actually, when I was in high school. I was in a show choir at West Covina High School, and we had to do Christmas shows like 3-4 times a day for elementary schools all over, you know, our city.
Right.
So I had to be Santa because I was the biggest, fattest guy, but I'm like really dark and Mexican, so and it didn't really make any sense. But either way, I had to, you know, do Santa, but we never washed the suit. And so I'm dancing around in the suit, and it's getting all sweaty and nasty and moldy, but we're afraid if we washed it, it would fall apart. So we just Febreze'd it every day, and so I had to wear this suit for the entire month of December, and it was so absolutely disgusting.
Oh, no. Oh.
I always wonder about those suits. I was having a conversation with Susie Pancake the other day at the IHOP near my house. And a different employee several times a day puts on the Susie Pancake outfit and goes out in front of the IHOP and waves at traffic. And I'm thinking, that has to get just pretty bad inside that costume after the first couple of days, right?
It's disgusting, yeah. And the material is not, like, the best material that you want to be wearing for hours on end.
Yeah.
It just gets itchy and disgusting. But it made up for it. One time I went to a school and a little kid ran up to me and he's like, hey, I'm sorry. And he grabbed my leg. So, I mean, I guess that made it all worth it.
Wow, that's a toss up for me. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jay in Azusa. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
Talking about the story where Santa in New Jersey got mauled by a bobcat. What happened? Were you a Santa?
Yeah, I was a mall Santa. I joined the Navy and my recruiter got me a job at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
The job he gave me was mall Santa, and it was right outside a buffet that served alcohol.
But wait a minute. You went into the Navy and you ended up as a mall Santa?
Well, you know, delayed entry.
Oh.
Delayed entry. So it's like they didn't want me to get in trouble, so
I see.
Found something for me to do.
Wow. All right, so now you're a Santa right outside of a restaurant that serves alcohol.
Yeah, well, so I was kind of mauled by cougars. They would come out of the restaurant and come out and want to sit and get their picture taken, and they'd take advantage and molest me.
Is that right?
You were mauled by the human cougars. Not this isn't like the bobcat story. These were girls, women.
Yeah, they're scary ones. They'd sit in your lap and they'd smoke and molest me.
Hey, honey, what's going on?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I love me some Santa. That is scary.
Yeah, and a couple of them, sit there too long, and I had a couple of them pee on me.
No.
Really?
You did not.
You didn't.
Yes, I did.
It's ridiculous to think that they wouldn't, but no. Come on.
Like, you think at least they're not little kids, so I'm not going to get peed on, but then you end up getting peed on anyway. That's no good, dude. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to, we've got Bob on line 9 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bob, welcome. You played a Santa?
Hey, guys. No, I didn't play a Santa. I just wanted to apologize to that Santa Claus that I bit.
Okay, it was an actual bobcat. Is this Bobcat Goldthwait? It wasn't you. We're not talking about you.
I know, but you guys were talking about bobcats, so I thought maybe I bit a guy.
You didn't. I don't. That we know of, you didn't bite anyone.
Sometimes I drink a lot. And I don't remember what I do.
You're off the hook, Bobcat. This time it wasn't you. You're not the Bobcat in the news.
That's great.
We have an update on the KMB Bay auction for the best seats in the house for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. We'll give you an update coming up after the
sold.
News at 7. No, not yet. Deadline's at 8:30, Ralph.
Can I say sold at 8:30?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, you can. All you right. can be the auctioneer. Okay. Right. I also want to mention that if you are not lucky enough to have gotten tickets for the shows when they went on sale last night, which is unlikely because virtually everybody who wanted to buy tickets was able to. I think we all know that. But just in the event that you are unable to or you're immobile so you can't join us at the Gibson in person, don't forget we are going to be broadcasting the entire show via the KRock.com live webcast again this year. And if you go to KRock.com, on the front page, you can see the set times, the pre-show, what time all the bands are playing. You'll be seeing interviews, backstage stuff, and it's going to look better than ever this year. They made some real upgrades to the video player. So it's a terrific way to see the show if you can't be there in person. All right, 6:51. It's Friday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on?
If you're immobile,
yes,
and can't make the show, how big is our handicap audience, are you guessing, Bean?
I just want to throw it out there. That's all.
Which audience?
There are people. There are people, and you know I hate the handicap, but this is one time a year where I feel like it's Christmas.
Dude,
they ought to be able to enjoy the show as well.
You thinking little Tiny Tim's there with his crutches in the corner of the room and he can't get to the acoustic Christmas?
Won't buy him tickets. When you joke about not liking people who are handicapped, people are going to take that seriously. They don't know how much you love and respect and...
Wait, are those words that hurt that I don't like the handicapped?
With the handicapped.
I don't care.
Bean has a special place in his heart.
Bean does work over the handicapped.
And,
I hear him roll him in parking lots.
He cares greatly, and when he says that everyone was happy and got tickets, he didn't mean that.
If I take their money, they can't chase after me. That's what I heard Bean say once.
Ho, ho, f***ing ho.
Exactly.
Sad news today. Betty Page, legendary sexual icon and pinup cult figure, passed away at the age of 85 years old.
When I
recognize her?
If you saw an image of Betty Page, you would absolutely know her. Okay. She was the super sexy pinup model in the late 50s who was very busty and did a lot of sort of fetish stuff. She would dress up in leather and bondage. She had a little riding crop, or she'd dress up in like a jungle outfit. Mm.
Blonde, brunette?
Brunette, but she was very sort of wholesome looking, had great eyes, and had that what they now call the Betty Page haircut, which are those bangs that come down, and then the long black hair sort of curled under at the ends.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Why don't you pull up a picture of Betty Page for Kevin, Mike, so he knows what we're talking about. But she sort of became an image that ushered in the sexual revolution of the 60s. She was
Usher died?
Oh, sweet Lord.
Mike, I just sent you a picture for Kevin.
So she was sort of the image that is greatly related with the sexual revolution of the 60s.
Oh, her. Sure.
Hefner used her as one of the very first playmates early on in his magazine. So she, for a lot of people, became sort of a sexual icon. And a lot of girls still to this day sort of worship her look and stuff. You see a lot of sort of goth girls and that kind of stuff, so sporting the haircut and whatnot. So she's got a long and storied history. There's a great movie made about her called The Notorious Betty Page, starring Gretchen Mol as Betty. And just sexy as hell. Not so much at 85, but still. Sad passing of a sexual pioneer. And so I mourn her passing, being a perv and all.
Sure.
Another sexual pioneer, Jessica Simpson. Oh, wait a minute. She just has big cans. According to Us Weekly magazine, yes! She has moved in with her boyfriend, Tony Romo, in his home in Dallas. God.
Best.
Gets the playoffs, yes. Goodbye.
Best case scenario.
Wow. Oh, this is going to be the greatest Christmas ever. The Eagles, of course, have to face Dallas on December the 28th, which many are speculating will be a winner goes to the playoffs, loser goes home sort of game. So thank you, Jessica. Thanks for moving in just at the right time.
Sure doesn't seem like she's been his good luck charm.
Yes.
I'll tell you that.
So that's good news for everybody. Here's an interesting story. Beyonce didn't take a paycheck for her role in the current movie Cadillac Records, which is in theaters now.
At all?
At all. Us Weekly magazine reports that when she visited a rehab house to get ready to play Etta James in the film, who was a heroin addict, she was so moved by the work she saw them doing there that she donated her entire paycheck to the Phoenix House Rehab Center, where she was visiting to watch heroin addicts trying to conquer their addiction.
Wow. That's so
just
nice.
Just pretty cool. I mean, obviously she's
got lots of money.
Got tons of cash, so she didn't probably need the paycheck from a small independent film, but it was kind of cool of her to make that gesture.
It is.
So, that's nice news.
I hear she's terrific in the film. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
But I
apparently
either.
She's not only a great singer, a great entertainer, beautiful woman, apparently she's quite the actress.
Yeah. I thought she did a real good job in Dreamgirls, too.
Mm-hmm. I did, too.
ABC's Dancing with the Stars. Rumors are already swirling about who will be the next set of celebrities to compete on the next season of that show.
I'm sure everyone's breathless.
I am, Lisa, when you hear about who they're talking to.
Okay.
It's great. It's too great. I can't even tell you it's so great.
Come on. Who is it?
Just give me a name.
Stevie Wonder has been approached.
Yes!
And Stevie says he's seriously thinking about it. This show has now become Dancing with the Handicap Stars.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You have to be deaf or have a heart condition or one leg or be blind.
Either.
Stevie says that they've contacted him. He's seriously thinking about it. And he said, it's not impossible because if I have 7 children, I've got to be able to dance, right? He said. See, because dancing equals sex sometimes.
No, I don't think that's what he meant.
Oh. It would be difficult. Of course, he's managed to do a lot of things that I think would be hard to do as a blind person. It would be difficult to dance having never seen dancing.
It's true.
Mm. No, that's true.
How do you teach someone dance moves if they can't look at a choreographer and copy what they're doing?
I can't imagine.
That would have to be difficult. But then Marley Matlin was able to do it, and she can't hear the music.
Did they contact her about what she thought about Stevie Wonder?
I don't know. Marley, what was your experience like working on the show, being a deaf woman trying to dance?
Oh, really fun. I knew. Good job.
There you go.
Those words don't hurt, right?
Nope. Right from the horse's mouth. There will be a Madagascar 3rd sequel. It's just been announced that DreamWorks has already got Madagascar 3 in
they
the works.
They still can't get where they're going?
They cannot get back to New York.
It's a big world,
crazy.
My friend.
In their defense, they are dumb animals.
That's true.
They're just a lion and a giraffe and a hippo.
How do they get on so many planes? I haven't seen either of the movies. How do they keep getting onto a plane in the first place?
Well, it's
wear a hat.
Initially, they were going to be their ship. They're on ship,
right?
and something goes wrong with the ship. I think it crashes or something, okay. And then they end up in Madagascar.
I see.
But there is an old plane that the penguins repair in Madagascar that they take off. They're going to fly to New York at the end of the first movie.
I think that was based on a true story.
Yes.
Part.
The penguins have repaired and are flying the plane to get them back to New York at the end of the first film. And you assume that they will end up in New York, getting back to the Bronx Zoo where they belong. But apparently in the beginning of Madagascar 2, there's a little problem with navigation and they end up in Africa.
Oh. Well, Do you think I need to see 1 before I see 2?
I would, because the complex... Yeah. Relationships between the characters really just can't be explored by watching the sequel. You really owe it to yourself. And is anyone else as excited as I am about the day the Earth stood still?
I'm excited.
No, I'm not as excited as
this is. I am only second to, I think, maybe Dark Knight or Iron Man is my anticipation for this film.
Definitely not as
I think it's going to be awesome.
Looks like amazing special effects.
Super excited about it, Ralph, because I love the original movie so
much.
As
do I.
But I'm starting to see reviews now that are tempering my enthusiasm for it.
Well, I'm still hot and heavy.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go. I'm still going to go.
And apparently 20th Century Fox believes that everyone else is, too. They are releasing this film on more screens and more theaters than any movie has ever been released before.
Really? This movie?
This movie. This weekend's release will include 3,560 theaters and more than 120 IMAX theaters.
Wow. My God.
Well, that sounds like the way to see it, the IMAX.
It would also be will be released into space.
What?
I can't see it
20th
there.
Century Fox.
That's inconvenient for
release.
That kind of time.
20th Century Fox will be using equipment at Cape Canaveral to beam the movie to Alpha Centauri, the nearest star system to Earth.
Why?
Just in case anyone in Alpha Centauri wants to see the movie.
That's where the visitors come from, Lisa's Alpha Centauri.
That's right. So it's like, hey, we're on your side. Visitors who want to kill us, we made this cool movie about you.
Please don't be like this.
Please don't do this to us. That's what they're saying.
See, now that's kind of clever. I mean, it sounds like a big fat waste of time in reality, but
it's
clever.
It's a publicity stunt, but it's kind of cool.
And if you know the movie, they come here because of what they see from Earth transmissions. So it's kind of a full circle deal. I like that.
Yeah, it's dumb.
How dare you, sir?
Dumb.
Klaatu Barada Nictu to you, my friend.
I hear you.
All right, then. I can't believe you just said that.
Those words could hurt somebody. I don't know who, but somebody could be offended.
That's who they could hurt.
Certainly not me.
Today's celebrity
birthday. What's Gort have to say about it? That's my fear.
Oh, Gorn.
Gort's going to be pissed.
Gort's going to be angry. You don't want to make Gort angry, Kevin.
Nope. You really don't.
What are they talking about?
I don't know.
Gossip Girl?
Did you guys change languages? What just happened?
Gort is the giant heat-blasting robot.
Wow, how did we not know that?
You don't want to tee off Gort.
Okay.
Gort. I'll take your word on that.
Although in this movie, Gort is CGI'd. I kind of miss old real Gort, you know?
Yeah. I don't know what any of these words mean.
If you saw Gort the Robot, you recognize him. A very famous, iconic science fiction movie image. It's got like a silver robot with like a visor, and he's got a red eye. Comes out. Beams of energy.
Are we still
Taking
on here?
Taking up Mars won't save you.
Today's celebrity birthday is Bob Barker is 85 years old today. Jennifer Connelly, who happens to be in The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Sure.
Along with my dreamboat, John Hamm, and Keanu
That's
Reeves.
Right. Mm. That's right.
Great cast.
Two great actors in that list right there.
she's 38. And Mayim Bialik, who I believe is from Alpha Centauri.
Mayim
Bialik. I think that's a planet, actually, in the star system. She is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You can keep flapping your gums if you want, talking about other stuff, but I'm just saying that Summer Glau's in the next room. That's the only thing I'm pointing out from the Terminator show.
I hear you,
dude. And our co-star, Thomas Decker. They're both going to be in here in about 50 minutes. First, though, let's take care of a little bit of business. That was the song you were listening for. Congratulations to Millie Gandola from Granada Hills. She was caller 20. She just won tickets in the pit. And backstage passes for both nights, Saturday and Sunday night this weekend at the Gibson Amphitheater for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Go back to krock.com, find out what the next song is to listen for so you can win on this, the last day that we're giving away tickets.
Let's talk about the auction right now. We are doing a charity auction at krock.com, and basically it is for front row center. These seats are going to be pretty much better than anyone's.
Wow.
Except for you're not going to be in the pit. You're going to be seats, but they're going to be front and center, and you get backstage passes for both nights. And you get to meet the Kevin.
By the way,
you get car service.
Yeah, that's a big deal for going for a concert. And I know meeting Kevin and Bean is lame. I completely acknowledge that. But we are going to be broadcasting live from out in front of the Gibson Amphitheater tomorrow. And here's what we do. We're on the air for a couple of hours. You will have special seating on the stage with us as we broadcast live. And we also are going to be interviewing, you know, two or three of the musical artists that are on the bill tomorrow night. You'll get a chance to meet them as well. So all of that is included for one low, low price. And here's the important thing to remember. This is unlike Ticketmaster with their ridiculous surcharges. All of the money that you pay for this auction goes to the charity. 100% of the money, no matter how much it is. There's nothing that...
...of the auction right now?
Yes.
But our phones just went dead again.
What's going on with our telephones?
I think it's an overload thing where people are calling to win tickets or whatever, and then I think our maximum capacity is about 3 calls, and it goes down. So they're getting the winning bidder back on the phone.
But,
okay. We opened up the bidding just after 6 o'clock this morning, and it started at $500. You can get all these details at krock.com, by the way. You can bid in increments of no less than $25, and I think we're up to, well, what's the latest number that you have?
I have $1,200.
$1,200.
I think that's it. Yeah. So let's see. I believe we have the current winning bidder on the phone. Good morning.
Morning.
Are you a dude that bid on an auction someplace somewhere?
I am indeed.
All right, good. What's your name?
Jim.
All right, Jim. You're at $1,200, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Where's that kind of money coming from?
My bank account.
Yeah.
Nice.
tell me whether you win or not, by the way. I want to thank you personally on behalf of the show for bidding on this because, as we say, it is for charity. But tell me what your week or weeks have been leading up to the Acoustic Christmas Concert that got you to the frenzied point where you're willing to spend this kind of money to go.
Well, long time Kevin and Bean listener, and I've actually been to a couple of Acoustic Christmases.
Cool.
And I went online last night and got smoked in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And
did you get forwarded to the Tickets Now broker that Ticketmaster now owns?
I saw it on the right-hand side of the Ticketmaster screen. I said, screw that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit of a shock to a lot of our listeners. It was a shock to me, and it seems angering.
Yeah, when the show is sold out and now Ticketmaster is scalping tickets on the same page, that kind of hurts. Like, hey, how about selling to me at the price that they were advertised at instead of ripping me off and keeping all the money? I mean, we're furious about this morning, Jim, I'll tell you.
As well as a lot of people, all your listeners, obviously.
I mean, I would think that you would get the option to say, hey, by the way, we also own a company. We have tickets we can sell you if you log back in someplace else.
Right.
I guess that would be separate enough, but the way it worked seemed like it was, you know, people were buying tickets thinking they were $75. They were $300 a piece.
Yeah, that's a terrible surprise.
Yeah, that's not a good surprise.
But we're talking about Ticketmaster, so what do you expect?
Yeah, they don't care a lot about much of anyone.
Yeah.
Correct.
Hey, Jim, you made a mention of something I wanted to go back to. Have you ever seen Psycho Mike's porn series called Smoked in 90 Seconds? That's a good one.
All right. To it, yeah.
So, front row center seats, who would you be bringing if you end up being the top bidder?
My girlfriend, Carol.
All right. Carol would be very lucky. That's for both nights, of course, for the show, Saturday and Sunday. Backstage party passes for each night, car service to and from the show. And, of course, as we mentioned, you are forced to meet the Kevin and Bean show. But the good news about that is you get to meet the artists that we're going to be interviewing out in front of the house around 5 o'clock tomorrow. And Miss Double December, the new Miss Double December 2009, Cassandra, is going to be there. And you get a chance to do her.
No, that's not in the deal.
Did I read that incorrectly? I thought you absolutely get to.
Dave, the King of Mexico, has first right of refusal. And then it'll be put out to bid.
And, of course, lots of karma points from the charities that are benefiting this year, the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and the Parlos Niños. So you're at $1,200 right now. I know you got your fingers crossed, hoping it doesn't go any higher than that. But are you going to keep bidding if somebody comes in right now and bids $13?
I think I can go as high as $15.
Okay.
I heard that you are willing to go up to $50. That's what I heard. I'm just making it up.
You need to put the bong down, Jim.
Jim, you are awesome. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you bidding. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you. Good luck. And whether we see you this weekend or not, man, thanks for participating and Merry Christmas to you, all right?
Good deal. Thanks for the opportunities and happy holidays to you guys.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I fully understand how Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles works Monday nights at 8 on Fox, but it doesn't seem to me like Cameron is doing a very good job of keeping eyes on John at this point. Can I just say that if the point was to keep him safe, where the hell is he? Like, you've lost the baby. What happened?
I know. I'm losing. He's really good at sneaking off.
Is he?
He's getting better and better at it, but, you know, I've been glitchy this season, and I'm hoping that
and I make things right.
Glitchy,
soon.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm going to use that. Sorry, I'm a little glitchy today.
This is the voice of Summer Glau, the actress who, of course, stars as Cameron on The Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles. And Thomas Decker, your co-star, is supposed to be here today, but you think he might have just made it a long weekend and headed to Las Vegas or something, right?
He's MIA, but I'm off the clock right now.
Wow.
I don't know where he is exactly, but you know.
So he's not your responsibility this minute?
No, during the weekends and when we're not at work, you know, it's too difficult to keep track.
He's on his own.
I got you.
What can you do?
So, Summer, Terminator, the people who watch the show love it. The problem has been getting enough people to tune in. But apparently this is one of those shows that the network, in this case Fox, believed in so much that they did pick you up and you are coming back and they seem to be really going full speed ahead with it, right?
We're thrilled. You know, we our first season was cut short with the writer's strike.
Right.
We got 9 episodes done. And then, you know, luckily they brought us back this year. And we fought really hard to keep our audience. And the people that do watch are they're incredibly loyal.
Yeah, that's me. I love the show. And it's kind of disappointing when good shows have a hard time finding audiences.
Yeah. Really, definitely.
You don't have to tell me. Dancing with Dogs. I mean, I don't even know if Dancing with Dogs is coming back, Kevin. You know, everything can't be a smash hit, though.
That's true, unfortunately.
When you're on a sci-fi show, and particularly when you're on a sci-fi show and you look like Summer Glau, you must get the craziest fan mail and the craziest things that you hear from people who do watch the show. I mean, it's a whole other world of geekdom, some of those people, right?
It's a whole other world. You know, I started out with Joss Whedon, you know, who's the creator of Buffy and Angel.
Right.
And I had no idea. That was my first job. And
that was on Firefly, right? You worked on Firefly.
Yes. I did a spot on Angel first, and then I moved to Firefly. And I didn't even know how to stand on my mark. I didn't know how to read my call sheets. I was brand new, and it was like being introduced into an alternate universe. Because the fans...
Scary.
They know your job better than you do, and you're worried when you get asked questions, you're going to sound like you don't know what you've been doing.
Because they know so much.
They are very smart. Fans.
I was driving home a couple months ago, whenever Comic-Con was, and I saw a billboard with your face saying Comic-Con San Diego, and I thought, that poor girl. She's
going
to go down to the middle of Comic-Con, and she's going to be hijacked.
She's
going to
die.
I just thought, oh, wow.
You need bodyguards for
what
that.
What was that experience like? Was that scary, fun, scary, or scary?
I've been about four years, and I keep thinking that it's going to feel normal, but it never does. But I think Lena's more nervous than I am. Lena's really, it's so foreign to her because she's British.
Yeah.
Right.
And so this is a whole new experience.
A whole different thing for her.
Mm-hmm.
She plays Sarah Connor, for folks who don't recognize the name. She's terrific on that show. Is it weird for you now that you are in the sci-fi world that you could be there forever? And I mean that in... When you're 80, you could be selling your autograph for $2 to these people because you're on this TV show in 2008. I mean, you know, when you go to those things, you see people from TV shows from the 50s that are still out there signing their glossies. I mean, the sci-fi fans never forget and never, never let you go.
They don't. It's a special place to be. You know, I've been really lucky that it seems like if I come off of one show that there'll be a place for me on another series. And It's a really fun community to be part of because, you know, I grew up loving science fiction and loving, you know, fantasy stories and Never Ending Story and Lord of the Rings and all those kinds of books. And so it's really fun as an actor to dive into the really far out stories,
right.
You know, not playing girl next door or playing a cheerleader. I've auditioned for those kinds of roles too, but it seems like playing psychics and robots is more my speed.
How much do they do to you, I mean, physically on your body to make you a cyborg, or how much of it is just done in special effects after or with a body double?
Because I saw him turn a screw deep in your head. I saw that happen.
We did that. That was
turned
glued to my head. It
really?
That was one of my least, my least favorite days on set. I was not a happy camper, but... we do a lot of it ourselves. You know, they glue those prosthetics on me, and our special effects makeup is incredibly talented. And we like to do as much of it manually as possible because I think it just looks better.
Looks better.
Right.
It does look like that you have, you know, steel and wires and everything inside your arms and every place else and your head and your face and everything.
Well, I like getting cut and bruised. It's fun. It makes me feel tough.
All right. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk. We're going to kind of catch people up with where we are on Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. We have some audio we want to play. The show is on Monday nights at 8 on Fox Plus. Let's crank the heat way up in the studio because when you have Summer Glowen, you don't want her in a freaking parka, okay? Could we warm up the room a little bit and make sure that Summer is comfortable?
Sure, of course.
And we'll return to talk some more all things Terminator right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. Right now, though, in our studio, Summer Glau, beautiful actress from Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Still wearing that big puffy coat. Throw that coat on.
Had a strike one, strike two on Summer, who I thought I would never find anything to criticize in my whole life. We found out during the song, and I hope people are sitting down because it's going to be very tough for them to take. Mm. Is a Cowboys fan, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowgirls she roots for. What's up with that? And Tony Romo, their quarterback. Come on,
you said
Summer.
His name is Romo.
I've loved Troy Aikman since I was a little girl. And I know he doesn't play anymore, but I'm always going to be loyal.
Mm. So look, if you grow up there, you got no choice, right?
I guess.
Every Sunday, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess.
You go to the games when you're back home at all? Do you ever go see them in person?
No, I haven't. You know, I'm from San Antonio. It's really far.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot far.
You were the perfect woman until just now.
Just shattered any illusion we had that you and I were going to end up together somewhere. I'm sorry. I know you're devastated. All right, let's talk about Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. How many episodes left for the season? This has to be the last one coming up on Monday, right?
Well, it's our mid-season finale.
Okay.
Kind of the break between.
Right. And then we start up again in February 13th, and we're moving to Fridays with Dollhouse, Joss's new show.
Oh,
right.
So that might be really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's less competition on Fridays than it was on Mondays. And
is it, does it make you a little unsure of, you know, moving to a new day, new time, new?
Yes. I was not happy at first when I heard that we were moving. But, you know, we've been fighting for our audiences on Monday, so I'm hoping that this is going to be a positive thing.
Yeah.
And it's always good, you know, when they're trying to work with you, you know.
Right. Right. Rather than just cancel you. At least they're moving you around and promoting it and doing what they can for you, which is great. Some of these shows, and I don't know if this is, as some have suggested, the lack of attention that people pay to television anymore, but some of these shows that have multiple plot lines with a lot of storylines, and in case of your show, time travel, backwards, forward, stuff like that, people are having a harder and harder time latching onto those and keeping them straight and keeping track of them, which has got to be frustrating because on a show like yours, you have to deal with time travel. It's something that's essential to the basic plot of the show. But how do you do it in a way that everybody's going to be able to keep up? I mean, it must be a real balancing act for the writers.
It is. It's a balancing act. We've added a lot of really great people to the cast this season. So there's even more than ever to keep straight. And you know, time travel's tricky.
It is. Yeah.
And sometimes we always wish that we had time to have meetings, you know, before each script so that we could get our stories straight as a group because, you know, there's people going in and out and then we're doing a lot of flashbacks. But I have to say, working in the future is probably my favorite thing about the show. I love when they get to shoot us in the future. So I'm just hoping that people can ride with it, and I think by the end of the season we have some really amazing storylines that are going to wrap things up.
Now, you play a reprogrammed Terminator. You're a good Terminator,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Is it difficult to play robotic? Sometimes do they say, hey, you're too human?
Because not you for Keanu Reeves. It's easy for him.
Because you do have some – it seems like you have human characteristics on the show, which none of the other ones do.
Well, the thing is, when I first went in and read the role, I was very confused, and I had many meetings with Josh Friedman, who created the show, and with David Nutter, who directed our pilot, about not taking it too far. I didn't want to cop out and just play her normal, but like a normal girl.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted her to be different from any Terminator before her.
Right.
So she has to walk that fine line of making people. What I want is for people to wish that she was human.
Yeah.
So, and I think that Cameron is searching, you know, she's very childlike in her abilities to absorb the behavior around her and to really want to understand.
But that childlikeness is a human factor. None of the other Terminators are interested in that in any way. And, for example, the episode when you told John Connor that you loved him, I was like, no, don't believe her. She's a robot. I was yelling at the screen.
You don't believe me.
No, you know what I mean? Like, how human, do you know how human your character ends up being? Or
no, they won't tell me. You know, I'm just, I keep working towards it, and I want to build it. I want to earn it. You know, I don't just want to say, well, my Terminator's more human. I want to earn it every week, you know, in the way that she absorbs things around her. And I think that her relationship with John is more complicated than any of us understand yet. But, you know, this year they've brought on a love interest for John, and it's been sort of this love triangle for me, and I've really loved it because I've been exploring the possibility if a robot could be jealous.
You know, one of the fascinating things about this show and about the other science fiction is that they do look ahead toward robots developing artificial intelligence and being able to do more than they are programmed to do. And that's your character is a perfect example of that. And it's interesting that you don't even know how far she'll go. I wish more women were cyborgs, though. I've given this a lot of thought.
Wait, I'm serious.
What is wrong with you?
Because they're just like women, except you can A, program them, and B, presumably there is a switch somewhere you can turn them off. I mean, it seems like a win-win.
I wonder why women instantly hate Bean.
You
Let
wouldn't
me
like
think.
It if it was like that.
I think
really?
He would, you but like I, think he's I think he's unique in that way. I don't think there are very many people who would.
Summer, in all the dealings you've had with the Terminator universe, have you ever had occasion to meet the governor?
I would run away. I'd be too scared. I don't know.
Scared because it's politics? Scared because he's a big guy? Scared why?
Both. Just nervous to meet Arnold. You know, he's
to meet the Terminator.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear some tape, shall we? Is this from the Monday show, Kevin, or is this from a past show?
This Monday show. I believe, I'm not positive, that this clip is from all of them.
I don't... That doesn't sound. I don't think that's the right clip.
Is it?
Definitely one
No. That's
I think
the
I best. Saw that.
That guys, you're confused. That's from 30 Rock last night. That's completely different.
They fight the bad Terminators. It's awesome. That's my favorite clip. So Monday is the last one. What do we need to know before Monday's show?
Well, it's not going to conclude the mystery that we're really trying to solve right now. You know, Sarah's been seeing these visions, and she's sort of been haunted by the sight of three dots, and she's getting closer and closer to finding out why she's seeing them. And she ends up in the middle. It's a very surreal episode. She ends up in the desert with these people who are searching for aliens and who believe in the supernatural, and she's very isolated from us, and it's a very difficult episode for her. And then, you know, John's scared that I'm trying to kill Riley, so I'm stalking Riley and having a great time torturing her.
Well, it's a fantastic show. Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, Monday night at 8:00 on Fox. When does it move?
February 13th.
February 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Is that your first day back after the holiday or no?
It is.
It is. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Summer, despite the whole Cowboys thing, you're a delightful young woman. I'm glad we got a chance to have you. So come back and see us sometime.
All right.
Not sold.
Not yet, Ralph. 8:30.
We have an auction going on for Front Row Center both nights, backstage passes both nights, and you get to hang out with us and the Kevin and Bean shows we broadcast tomorrow night. You get to meet the bands that we interview. It's a
Double December.
And 100% of the proceeds go to the charities. That is a little different than the Ticketmaster thing that happened.
Para los niños.
You know what I'm saying?
And don't just skip over the car service in both directions, too, because that's a big deal when you get into going to a concert with parking and all
I
that
wish
kind
somebody
of
would
nonsense,
drive
so.
Kevin.
Yeah, me too.
So I need to wait 20 minutes till after he gets in his car before I can feel free to get on the 101.
It is up to $3,000 right now. You can go to krock.com. You do have to be a Street Team member, but it takes 5 seconds to sign up for that, and we are going to need a cashier's check today. It's not a credit card situation, but all of the money, 100% of the proceeds, do go to charity, and you've got about 35 minutes from right now. And don't forget, if you're not going to the concert, we are webcasting the entire thing. It's going to look better than ever this year. Both nights, backstage, every second of what's on stage, you can see the whole thing at krock.com. All right, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You don't have to bring a cashier's check. If you have a suitcase full of 20s, that'll do too.
Unmarked or
just
marked?
Just meet me in the parking lot.
I don't think that's...
and I'll make sure
Probably not.
Wooten gets his share.
I'm guessing not.
I know Al. We hang out together. Mm. Golf buddies.
Good guy.
Me and Wooten.
Nice man.
This Mark Ruffalo, his brother Scott, this death just keeps getting hinkier and hinkier, this story. Apparently, according to TMZ.com today, the cops are saying they don't buy the Russian roulette story.
Really?
Oh, they were on that for a while. Now they're back off of it?
Well, wow. I don't think they were ever on it. I think that was the story that this this broad Shaha Mishal Adham was selling. And
but we thought when they let her go that they must be buying that story.
Yeah, here's the thing. They don't always hold on to the people of interest, cops, unless they pretty much can nail down with a reasonable theory or the evidence that they have collected in order to hold people.
I guess that makes sense.
Sometimes it works against them in the long run. So I'm sure they know of her whereabouts at all times. But now law enforcement sources are saying they do not buy the suicide or accidental death story at all. Here's why. Law enforcement say the paramedics didn't even know Scott was shot until he was on his way to the hospital. The call they were responding to was for an assault. In the apartment.
Oh.
The 911 call didn't say anything about an accidental death or a suicide or even a gunshot. When the cops got to the scene, they recovered two loaded guns.
Wow.
Why would you have two loaded guns if you're playing Russian roulette? That's something you just pass back and forth. Or if one person is playing, you just need the one gun, right?
Right.
Now they think there may be a third person in the apartment along with Shaha Mishal Adham and her boyfriend Brian Schofield. So this story gets murkier and murkier the more we find out. But apparently cops are still investigating, and we may not know for some time exactly what went on in that apartment.
That's rough.
But if that broad said that it's Russian roulette, and it turns out not to be,
they
should slap her ass with obstruction of justice and whatever else she's hiding and throw her in the hooskow.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Do they still call it the hooskow?
See you in the Gray Bar Hotel, Missy. Say hello to my friend Sybil Brand. Nice to meet you. Wouldn't want to beat you.
Hey, shut up.
Okay. The Twilight sequel New Moon has a director. They fired Catherine Hardwick, the original director of Twilight.
Well, she did such a poor job with the original one.
Apparently there were some creative differences, as they say, in the entertainment industry between Catherine Hardwick and the producers of the film. And so they have hired a great director, Chris Weitz, who, along with his brother Paul, directed American Pie together, and then they also went on to be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Screenplay for About a Boy. Chris directed The Golden Compass, that other big big special effects fantasy film. So they believe he's got enough experience to pull off New Moon. He will be directing that, and they are fast-tracking the sequel. Hopefully, they hope it'll be in the theaters next year, so...
Is creative differences just an umbrella for everything?
Yeah, it's like irreconcilable differences in divorce.
Yeah, okay.
It's just, whatever the petty problems are between people, they just slap that tag on it, and that makes people stop talking about it. Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, is their marriage in trouble? A close friend of the couple, I love, by the way, how the close friends of people are always saying the worst things about them.
Sure.
Says to the New York Daily News that their marriage has hit a rocky patch. They're trying to work it out in their London home, but things have gotten out of control in the relationship. Apparently, Gwynny's good pals with Madonna, and Chris is good friends with Guy Ritchie, and so that has added to the current difficulties because now they're picking sides in that relationship as well. So, we'll wait and see. But that'd be sad if they broke up.
Especially over Madonna's relationship.
No, apparently they've got problems in their relationship, but this is just adding to it, causing more tension in the home, them siding with different people. And speaking of Twilight, Robert Pattinson is a liar.
What does that mean?
Well, he's a vampire, so I guess he's, can't trust them anyway, right? He is always saying to the press how he can't get any girls and doesn't party.
Right.
Well, maybe In Touch magazine has something to say about that. They have photos of him making out with his ex-girlfriend Camilla Bell and partying at the Chateau Marmont in Hollywood. Throwing him back.
Is this after it came out? Or
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe Robert is a little looser than he'd like to have us.
But that's the easiest way to get even more chicks approaching you is to say, yeah, I can't meet a woman. I can't find anybody.
It's the no game game.
Right. Exactly.
All the time. And now we know who will be performing at Barack Obama's inaugural ball next month. Sting will be performing. Sam of Sam and Dave will be there, and Elvis Costello will be headlining the event. Partay!
Wow. How white is this guy?
What is Sam Moore of Sam and Dave? I'm a soul man. They sang I'm a soul man. How much more black can you get than I'm a soul man?
But that's the kind of black music that only white people like anymore.
I'm a soul man.
You know what I'm saying? Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. I want Barack Obama to invite Parliament Funkadelic to the White House. I want to see him really black it up.
Yeah. I'm sure Bootsy Collins is on the list. Don't worry about it. I'm
Old
sure
Square show. Rockers doesn't seem to be cool either, though. I mean, you know, you got to... This should be a...
Where's Lil Wayne?
Think
Where's
Barack
Neo?
Obama
Come
is
on.
Overly concerned with appearing cool.
Lil Half-Dead?
Where's Lil Half-Dead?
I don't think he's trying to please Bean. No. That's what I'm guessing.
But the sense I get, and I could be totally wrong about this, is he goes out of his way to not appear black by inviting John Fogerty to the White House. I mean, he's a 47-year-old black guy. He must be into some black music. Where is it?
Why are you assuming that he is trying to alter his behavior just for you?
Because he's a politician.
He's a politician, and he's worried about his image. But B, because it seems like most 47-year-old black guys are into some contemporary black music.
Dude,
that's
grew
all.
Up with Whitey in Hawaii. He was surfing and laying on the beach with a bunch of white dudes. It wasn't like he grew up in the projects of Detroit, Bean.
I understand that.
Well, apparently you don't. Why can't his taste not apply to what you think a black guy's taste should be at his age?
I don't trust him. First of all, he's an Arab. First of all. And second of all, sure. I don't trust him.
He's a fine American, my friend.
Let's talk relevant.
My friend, he's a fine American.
Let's talk relevant versus irrelevant, though. Music. Don't you think?
Look.
Maybe he's really not into music at all. I mean, he seems like
he doesn't listen
to
anything new.
Maybe he likes Elvis Costello. Maybe he's a 47-year-old guy who likes Elvis Costello. There's a lot of them.
I don't think anyone still loves him.
I do. I love Elvis Costello.
Just kidding. Come on.
But I'm saying, you know?
All right. I may be reading too much into it, but I would have been happier.
No,
I
think
happier.
You're right on target here.
But I would be. It just seems like if I become president, I'm going to invite the bands that I really like to come play the White House. You know what I mean? If I'm Barack Obama, why not have Usher in or somebody that he probably likes? That's all I'm saying. Back to you, Ralph.
That's why I'm not voting for Bean for president.
Yeah, I don't think he has what it takes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. You mean any sort of empathy with anyone ever?
Likeability.
Any idea of the big picture at all?
And not born in this country, which is pretty much the third strike anyway. Yeah. So,
Bob Barker is 85 years old today. As we look at celebrity birthdays, I wonder what Bob's doing these days. Besides counting his money.
Yeah. Probably
he's still out there making PETA appearances.
Neutering
he's still doing
animals.
That.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Banging Barker's beauties.
That's probably true, yeah.
They show off hovercrafts or whatever prize they've got going backstage. I don't think they ever gave away a hovercraft on The Price is Right. Mm-mm. That would be a cool prize to get. A brand new hovercraft! Cruise effortlessly around your neighborhood on a cushion of air in this brand new hovercraft. That'd be awesome.
I think he still has the microphone.
Oh, yeah, the little pencil
thing. Skinny
one,
yeah.
Jennifer Connelly's 38 years old today, and Mayim Bialik. From Blossom turns 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Plus, 17 minutes from right now is when the auction ends. Ralph, you're going to be standing by to say sold when it's over, right?
Sold. I've been rehearsing.
Not yet.
Sold.
Not yet. Sold. Not yet.
So I'm working on it. Sold. Sold?
This is our charity auction that involves backstage passes, the best seats in the house, hang out with Kevin and Bean, meet some of the bands, meet Miss Double December, car service back and forth. It's a pretty good deal. Right now, current bid is at $3,000. We'll see if that holds. Again, the deadline is at 8:30. It is Friday. That means NFL time, ladies and gentlemen. How about our friend Andrew Siciliano on the phone with us from DirecTV Red Zone? Andrew, good morning. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Guys, good morning. This is hands down the best week ever.
Wow. Really? That's saying
Andrew
something.
Siciliano may be your friend, Kevin and Bean.
That's Why fine. Is he not yours?
Not my friend.
Did he pick against the Eagles?
Not this week. He's not my friend.
Big game this week.
Not my friend this week.
Oh, you're playing Cleveland?
Yeah.
Ah.
Monday Night Football.
Wow, I couldn't care less.
Says the guy whose team is going to lose?
The guy whose team is just going full steam ahead towards a brick wall.
Now, Andrew, let me ask you about that. It's unusual that we start with the Monday Night game, but do you think that the Browns will lose like they lost to Houston or more like they lost to Indianapolis, or perhaps they'll lose like they lost to Tennessee all games in the last 3 weeks?
Actually, I would think
think that they would find a new and ever more creative way to lose. The Browns are good at one thing, and that is finding creative ways to lose. They have a quarterback, Ken Dorsey, who, remember, won the national championship with Miami when they beat Ohio State
a couple
years ago. Ken's a great guy, but he's a future coach. He would admit to you probably that he can't throw the ball 20 yards downfield.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's there to tutor Brady Quinn. No one ever thought he'd have to throw a football.
Great. That's what you want.
They're not. If they score two touchdowns on the Eagles, it would be more. Actually, if they score one touchdown on the Eagles, it would be more than they've scored the last 3 weeks combined.
Well, and Dude. The worst thing that happened to the Eagles is when everybody counted them out, because then they've been back with a vengeance that's beating people up.
You sure you still want to get rid of Donovan McNabb?
I don't want to get rid of Brian Westbrook, that's for sure.
No, you don't. What is the playoff situation for the Eagles, if there is one, Ralph?
All right, the Eagles are alive, and actually the cool thing of it is coming into last week, 27 of 32 teams were still alive in the last week. The Eagles have the Browns, the Redskins, and the Cowboys. They need to win out, and they need other people to lose. If the playoffs were to start today, they wouldn't be in. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even be the first alternate for the wild card. They're number four right now for the wild card. So they need Atlanta to lose to Tampa Bay. They need to beat the Browns. They need the Giants to beat the Cowboys. They need a lot of things to happen.
Wow.
It's not unrealistic, though, that the Eagles can get in. They're in a better position, say, than the Redskins, than the Saints, who lost last night.
Right. Sure.
So it's not likely, but it's certainly possible.
That tie might actually help them at the end of the season.
It could, in that if you subscribe to the theory that weird math is good math, that it could just throw people off and confuse people. Yes. Sure, it might. Yeah. Yeah, there's a chance.
Now, San Diego plays in Kansas City. How's that game going to go?
It's a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a flat-out dog. But they're going to play it.
San Diego's going to kill them.
They're not going to cancel it just because it's a lame matchup?
No, there's actually a game that should be canceled beyond that one. Hold on. The game that should be canceled, not the Lions and the Colts, because the Lions' quest for perfection continues.
Oh, yes. I'm rooting for them to stay winless.
Oh,
I love this.
I think they are, too. Dan Orlovsky will start a quarterback in that game.
Okay.
Never
heard of him.
Exactly. The dog of the week is, I was going to say New England and the Raiders, but, I mean, they have to go 3,000 miles away, so it really isn't the dog of the week. I would guess the dog of the week, the Redskins and the... No, here it is. The Seahawks and the Rams.
Yeah, of course. That's what I was waiting for.
They're a combined 4-22.
Yeah, right. that's a battle of who can lose.
And it's sold out. It's not sold out, rather, in St. Louis. It's a blackout in St. Louis. So, mercifully, the people in St. Louis do not have to watch it.
You should hear them, this is Bean speaking, Andrew. I live in Seattle. You should hear them trying to hype up on the radio for people to tune in and listen to that game. They're like, it's an important matchup within the division this Sunday. You don't want to miss the Seattle Seahawks. And it's just like, no one, it doesn't matter who wins or loses that game. It couldn't be more pointless.
I love to watch the TV promos for those games when you're stuck with a Monday night or a Thursday night game that's just a dog.
Yeah.
Right? And they'll say something like, Seneca Wallace faces Mark Bulger.
Now, New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys, is that going to be a good game?
That's the game of the week, hands down, the game of the week. And you have Terrell Owens, I don't know if you caught it, guys, confirming once and for all that he is an 8-year-old.
Yep,
and
melting down.
I didn't hear what he did. What did he do?
He doesn't like the relationship between Romo and Witten.
Yeah, and I hope his apologists and enablers finally fess up and say, you know what, it wasn't McNabb's fault, it wasn't Andy Reid's fault, it wasn't Jeff Garcia's fault, it wasn't Steve Mariucci's fault, it's this guy's fault. ESPN had a report yesterday that said T.O., and this is straight out of a fourth-grade playbook, that Terrell Owens is mad because he thinks Jason Witten and Tony Romo are best buddies and they're roommates on the road, and that on the road they go into their hotel room and draw up secret plays and don't tell T.O.
Yeah.
What?
Awesome.
He doesn't get the football enough because Jason Witten is his favorite.
They're conspiring against
him.
Yes.
Wow.
And T.O. sent Tony Romo in one of their meetings a note that said, do you like me? Check this box if yes.
Right, exactly.
And he didn't check the box.
Even though statistically over the last 3 years, Jason Witten has 50 fewer passes thrown to him than Terrell Owens.
Well, there's don't confuse him with the facts.
Yes.
Hey, did T.O. cry about this yet? Do we know?
No, he did not. Although not in public, he was complaining loudly when he walked off the field last Sunday in Pittsburgh.
And B, am I stupid that I didn't know that you still have roommates on the road when you travel with a team?
Not everyone does. Most teams still do.
Yeah, most
roommates.
Teams do.
If you're the super, super, superstar, and maybe you can write it into your contract that you get your own room,
But most guys don't. They want to be with another guy on the team.
Teams do roommates, on the road for the NFL. They're very short trips. NFL teams leave at like noon on Saturday. They get in. They have a walkthrough. They eat the rubber chicken at whatever hotel they're staying at. They have a meeting. They have a bed check, and they go to bed.
You see T.O. like looking under the door of Tony Romo, like trying to hear what's going on in there, trying to figure out what plays they're drawing up without him.
And then he goes back to watching Dora the Explorer in his room.
Andrew, the other game of the week, in my opinion, Pittsburgh-Baltimore. Baltimore just coming on like a house fire, just out of nowhere.
It's a bloodbath. When the two teams themselves say it's going to be a bloodbath, there might be knives.
Oh, yeah.
There might be knives. I mean, heck, Terrell Suggs, when he was when he went to college in Arizona, once beat a man with a crowbar, but that's another story. This is a bounty game. Like, there's supposedly a bounty on Hines Ward, the Steeler wide receiver.
I thought you said bouncy.
Well, he's not very bouncy. There are other fat guys.
I didn't understand what you were saying.
Bouncy.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but there might be a bounty on the bouncy guys, too. But it will be a bloodbath. If the Steelers win, they win the division. They're in the playoffs. This is a great game between two teams separated by one game. It'll be cold. It'll be ugly. It will be, if you like violence, it will be violent.
If you like defensive football, this is the game for you. Two of the best defenses in the league, absolutely.
Did you guys see the Plexico Burr story yesterday?
About the strip club?
I don't think so.
Yeah, how great is that?
I don't think so. What happened? Quickly.
The New York Post guys had a video of Plexico Burris. This is hours before his shooting a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
He was at a nudie bar with some teammates, and when he walked in with the teammates, of course, they comped him, they VIP'd him, so they took him to the back room, except it wasn't the back room as we know it. It was the employee lounge, and there's a video of Plexico Burris eating with his bare hands cold chicken off the Thanksgiving buffet for the employees from the day before.
Oh, no!
Eating leftovers with his bare hands.
Shoving it into his face.
But now we know why he was wearing sweatpants, at least, Andrew.
He touched the strippers with those
because
pants.
He was going to a strip club. That's why he wore sweatpants.
I can't comment on that.
Oh, obviously. He wanted a little extra sensation there through the sweats.
I guess.
When he gets the lap dance.
Speak for yourself.
By the way, the strip club, by the way?
Yes.
Headquarters.
That's the name of the strip club?
That's the name of the strip club. Yeah.
Love it.
Whoa. Speaking of that, then there's Vasanti Shanko. You know who he is?
No, I don't.
Okay, he's a Minnesota Vikings tight end. He's a decent football player, and unbeknownst to him, we don't know. Post-game locker room, the Vikings owner gave out the game balls last Sunday, and accidentally for a flash frame, literally a split second, you saw Vasanti Shanko. And his Vasanti Shanko.
Is that right?
Oh!
He was just there for the world to see.
Good times.
Yes. A production company, whose name I will not give bogus PR to, in the Valley, that makes Valley movies, yesterday offered Vasanti Shanko a role in something called Bubble Butt Barbecue 2.
Oh, I love Bubble Butt Barbecue.
Finally, that one's coming. I love the first one.
Ralph, did anyone like the first one?
I love the first one.
Yeah.
Great work. You did great work.
Sequels are never as good.
No.
I love that Andrew is now freeze-framing locker room girl photos.
That's right. Hey, I work in this business.
All right, of course.
Yeah.
They had to bring out the chains, though, to measure to see if he had the first down or not.
I hear his inches short. The Red Zone DirecTV channel can only be gotten through DirecTV. You ought to call 888-777-2454 or go to DirecTV.com. Andrew will be watching on Sunday, man. Thanks for coming on. Have a great weekend.
Happy holidays.
I know that we promised you that you could say sold. But
sold.
It's 8:32 now, which means that
sold.
The,
I said it off the air. Sold.
The auction's over.
Sold.
Ended 2 minutes ago. So
sold.
Sorry about that.
He can say sold when we talk to the winner, because we're going to meet the winner coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is here. It's time for a look at the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch of movies being released this weekend. Let's start with Nothing Like the Holidays. Yes, it's that time of year. It's that time for an ethnic minority to get their own Christmas movie. And this year, it's the Puerto Ricans.
Yay!
They get Nothing Like the Holidays, a story of the Rodriguez family and the crazy white girl who gets brought into their home over the holidays, and she sure is shocked by how crazy they are. Deborah Messing plays the annoying white girl, and every Hispanic actor you've ever heard of is in this movie. John Leguizamo, Freddie Gonzalez, Alfred Molina, who's British, but apparently has some Latin in him someplace. Here's a scene from Nothing Like the Holidays where Deborah Messing gets a gift of a christening gown for the holidays.
What is this?
Oh, looks big.
Ooh.
Oh. A christening gown.
What, you said tell me about your plans?
Yeah. We've never really talked about baptism.
No, we didn't. No. Well, we're not going to bar mitzvah for the kid. Come on. I mean, whoever would have a Puerto Rican Jew? I mean, come on, for crying out loud.
Geraldo Rivera.
Juan Epstein.
To all my Puerto Rican brothers in the audience, please enjoy.
Deborah Messing is an outstanding casting choice to play an annoying white woman, though.
Yeah, I guess Sarah Jessica Parker wasn't available for this film, because I don't know how they missed her. Usually she plays the uptight, obnoxious white girl who gets brought home for the holidays in some family.
Are you referring to The Family Stone?
I am indeed, Lisa.
Mm. That's one of my favorite movies.
That's what Scott Ruffalo was watching when they found him in his apartment. That's all I'm saying. That fucking movie.
Wow.
Doubt also opens this weekend. This is quite the cast. Meryl Streep, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Amy Adams. Story of a principal of a Catholic school in the Bronx, played by Meryl Streep, who grows suspicious of a priest who is working there who she believes may have crossed the line with one of her students.
Good times.
Here's a scene where Meryl Streep is asking Philip Seymour Hoffman about his meeting with the little boy in question.
Were you yourself singled the boy out for special attention? You held a private meeting with him at the rectory a week ago? Yes.
What are we talking about?
The boy acted strangely when he returned to class.
He did?
Can you tell us why?
Did you want to discuss the pageant? Is that why I'm here? Is this what you wanted to discuss?
This.
Tense. Sounds highly
They say it's brilliant, this film. Very uncomfortable, very tense.
Very uncomfortable.
And very interesting.
Like,
and by the way, nothing good ever happened in anything called a rectory.
That is true.
Nothing good ever happened there. But definitely, it's right in the name. You will get wrecked, probably in your rectum, in the rectory.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing happens in the rectory.
Yeah.
Gran Torino opens this weekend. How great is Clint Eastwood at 111 years old? He still scares the crap out of me.
He's in this one?
He stars in it. Directed, stars. He plays a crotchety old bigot who actually gets a little cheesed off that his neighborhood's being taken over by gangs. But he finds a common warrior in this battle with one of his neighbors who happens to be a Vietnamese young man. And he learns a little bit about himself and also kicks some major ass in his neighborhood, which is always good to see Clint Eastwood brandishing a shotgun saying, "Get off my lawn."
He doesn't act in front of the camera very often. Of course, he's still a tremendously active director, but this is the first thing he starred in since Million Dollar Baby, and by all accounts, he's just brilliant in it, as always.
Yeah, I think the next clip you have lined up is actually for a movie that we're going to pass over.
Okay.
So can we move ahead to the next clip, which is Gran Torino. Here is a collection of scenes that have been edited together from the trailer, but you get a sense about what the movie's about and how creepy and scary Clint Eastwood sounds in this film.
Why are you bringing me all this garbage anyway?
Because you saved Hal.
I didn't save anybody.
You're a hero to the neighborhood.
Those guys were here the other night. What about them?
Just a gang.
Here's Zeal. You stay with him, because if I have to come back here again, it's going to be ugly.
What was it like to kill a man?
You don't want to know. Tao and Sue are never going to find peace in this world as long as that gang's around.
What are you going to do, Walt?
Whatever it is, they won't have a chance.
Dirty Harry takes on a neighborhood gang. That's what you got in this movie.
I'm in. That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're in.
Is that one of the ones that got a bunch of nominations that we were talking about yesterday or the day before?
It did. Clint Eastwood got two nominations, by the way, but for the music in the movie that he composed and performed.
There's your answer. And lastly, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Jennifer Connelly, Keanu Reeves, John Hamm, Kathy Bates. Aliens land on Earth with an important message for its citizens. We're going to kill you all. You're effing up this planet, and it's time to exterminate the virus that is mankind. They got a point. Come on, let's be serious.
Well, I don't think it's
we've
that bad.
We've effed up the planet.
All right.
We've effed it up.
We're not improving Earth.
We've made a mistake along the way. We're not great tenants in this apartment building called Earth, that's all I'm saying. We play the music too loud. We throw loud parties. We leave our garbage in the hallways. We're putting holes in the drywall. It's time we're evicted.
The aliens are old men?
Now the building's owner comes to visit.
Yeah, that's right. The aliens are ready to evict us, basically. Here's a scene where Jennifer Connelly asks Keanu Reeves, who plays the leader of the aliens, what's happening?
I need to know what's happening.
This planet is dying. The human race is killing it.
So you've come here to help us?
No, I didn't.
You said you came to save us.
I said I came to save the Earth. We can't risk the survival of this planet for the sake of one species.
What are you saying?
If the Earth dies, you die. If you die, the Earth survives.
That is not a good choice.
Got a point, though. He's got a point. That's all I'm saying.
Sounds a little heavy-handed, that's all I'm
saying. Klaatu Barato Nictu. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know what that means.
And to you as well.
All right, back at you. That's my pick for the week. I can't wait to see The Earth Stood Still. I love me some sci-fi. That's pretty obvious. But I tell you, that Clint Eastwood thing.
That sounds great.
It gives me a little bit of wood.
Clint Eastwood ought to handle the aliens, man. We get everything taken care of.
That'd be great.
Just wrap that whole thing up in a nice neat bow.
There it is. You aliens can't handle it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know. Is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Hey, that's that song.
Yes, it is.
Hey, everybody, that's that song. That's the song. Love Cats. That's it.
It's too late. Eric Peach from Yorba Linda, Kevin, was caller 20 when the Cure Love Cats played. He just won tickets for both nights in the pit and backstage passes for the Acoustic Christmas 2008, which is going to be tomorrow night and Sunday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. So so that's it for giving those away.
For now, but the next song you're listening for is Lou Vega, Mambo Number 5.
I don't, that doesn't
sound
like.
Cat will play that.
That's not the right song. That's,
she does?
Please, what? Folks, please verify that. Go to KROQ.com and check out to find out what song you're listening for. Something else we're doing for you this morning is, of course, we're running out of days before the Acoustic Christmas weekend, which is finally here, is we did our annual charity auction. KNB Bay has been running since 6 o'clock this morning. It's a fantastic prize package, and we'd like to introduce you to the winner, who has just donated $3,500 to the local charity this year. How about that? Bob Shepard. Hey, Bob. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
How did this happen? How did you end up ponying up $3,500 for the prize package?
You guys didn't really give me a whole lot of choice, dragging out the ticket sale to the last minute.
Yeah. You know, well, we did that to try and not have scalpers get involved in it, and that worked perfectly. So we're happy about that. No problem.
Until we realized
there.
That Ticketmaster was the number one ticket scalper in America, in which case it's impossible to avoid that.
That may have been a bad surprise.
Yeah, that was.
So sorry to everyone.
Besides the fact that it's for a great cause, the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Parlos Niños, and we can't thank you enough for the very generous donation that we promise you, all of which will go to the charities. Why was it so important for you to go to the shows this weekend, Bob?
Yeah, it was for the charity. That's a good thing. But the bands are awesome this year, and I've gone the past few years, so wanted to keep going.
Fantastic.
And like I said, it was impossible to get tickets last night.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, have you ever been in the front row center before at any of the Acoustic Christmas shows in the past?
No. It's gonna be really cool.
And you will be joined by a lot of drunk people as they try to climb down. So that's good times.
That's always fun.
Have you had backstage passes before?
No, first time.
Okay. All right, so you got that going on for you. Have you ever had a driver to and from the show both nights? Because we're taking care of that, too.
Yeah.
Yes, he has. That's a nice gig right there.
He's a seasoned party goer.
Yes,
he is. And the only... Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
I said, Haley's me. I heard her voice there.
Hey there.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Now, Bob, we will come. I just want to be honest with you now, because you're obviously a big time K-Rock listener. We will not be offended. We will completely understand if you decide to pass on meeting the Kevin and Bean show tomorrow at the live broadcast from the Gibson Amphitheater.
No, we'll take it.
You're certainly welcome.
Yeah, but no, we're looking forward to it.
We feel stupid selling that, so
you don't have to. I just want you to know you're not required to be there if you don't want to, but if you are, we'll give you a chance to not only hang out with us as we broadcast, but you can meet and get pictures taken with any of the bands that we're going to be interviewing during that time, and you'll get a chance to meet our newest Miss Double December, Cassandra, that we crowned last Friday. She's also going to be there in her big Miss Double December coming out party. So all of that is going to be happening for you all weekend long.
All right.
Congratulations, man. Thank you very much for the money. The charities, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
No problem, and we will see you time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
A lot of bad news in Showbiz News today. Macaulay Culkin's sister was killed yesterday when she stepped off a curb and was struck by a car. TMZ.com is reporting that Dakota Culkin was 29 years old. She was transported to UCLA Medical Center, where she later died of her injuries. Aww. So it was terribly tragic for the Culkin family. But
I got to tell you, after the time change, it has been it's a weird like month of things get dark before you're
so
ready
early,
and
yeah.
people
yeah.
start going across the street. It's hard to see.
Yeah.
It really is.
And apparently she wasn't in a crosswalk, which is never a good idea
yeah.
in Los Angeles because under the best of circumstances, I can avow for this personally.
Yeah.
It's hard to cross the street sometimes with the way the traffic moves in this town, so you got to be careful out there. Betty Page, legendary pinup and cult figure, has passed away at the age of 85. She was a pinup queen in the late 50s. You've probably seen her photos before with her shoulder-length black hair and her bangs cut across her head, and she was always in crazy outfits like bondage get-ups and jungle layouts and stuff like that. Very sexy for the time and was one of the early pioneers in the sexual revolution. She has passed away at the age of 85. Betty's also responsible for some of the hottest Halloween costumes you've ever seen, by the way. She did great work that way. And this story keeps getting weirder and weirder. TMZ.com's got new information about the death of Scott Ruffalo, Mark Ruffalo's brother. Apparently cops are not buying a suicide or accidental death story. They're not saying that the Russian roulette thing plays for them at all. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ.com that they don't buy, first of all, that anyone would shoot themselves in the back of the head when they're playing Russian roulette.
That was odd.
Also, apparently the 911 call that brought cops to the scene in the first place was regarding an assault, not a suicide or an accidental death. So they think maybe someone shot Scott in between when the phone call was made and when the cops arrived. They found two loaded guns on the scene when they arrived.
Mm.
And paramedics didn't even know Scott was shot until he was on his way to the hospital because the wound was not apparent. So it wasn't as if someone would walk into the room immediately and know that someone had been shot in the head. So a lot of interesting aspects to this story. They have released, for the time being, the two people they brought in for questioning initially, Shaha Mishal Adham and her boyfriend, Brian Schofield. But questioning continues, and sources say there may have been a third person in the apartment at the time as well that they're looking to speak with. So,
Ralph, you're bumming me out.
Yeah, give us some good news. What do you got?
I'm just saying, there's a lot of very somber showbiz news for a Friday. That's all I'm suggesting.
Lisa's traffic, bumming me out.
I mean, it's a terrible day.
Log in the road. Come on, people.
Bad Friday.
Give us something good. Give us something. All right, here you go. All right.
Pete Wentz and Ashley Simpson.
Best story ever.
Are trying to sell photos of their newborn son, Bronx Mowgli Wentz. So far, every celebrity magazine they've gone to has said, beat it.
Yeah!
Tell your story walking.
And now I'm happy.
You Fruit Loop? Not interested. They can't find any takers, so it looks like they will not be making any money off of photos of Bronx Mowgli.
Wow. That is good news.
So, there is a God. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bob Barker's 85, Jennifer Connelly turns 38, and Mayim Bialik, who was Blossom, as well as the young Bette Midler in Beaches. Let's not forget
that's
that.
Right.
That's where she got her big break.
Oh.
Ah, you look like a young Bette Midler.
That is not what anyone wants to hear.
What greater compliment can a woman receive?
Wow. That's a bummer.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including Ralph's boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano, for joining us from the Red Zone DirecTV channel. Go to DirecTV.com. What time's he start? What time does his broadcast begin on Monday?
9 o'clock?
30.
Usually 9:30-ish.
Yeah. And thanks to the beautiful Summer Glau for joining us, too. She, of course, is one of the stars of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and that comes back with a new episode. It's mid-season finale this Monday night at 8 on the Fox Network. And thanks again to Bob Shepard from Riverside, by the way, the big auction winner. We will see him and see many of you out this weekend at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. If you're not able to join us in person, don't forget, we are webcasting the entire show this year. We got a new player this year, a new video player that looks fantastic. You're going to see it like never before. From the comfort of your own home at KROQ.com, but definitely check it out. Go there and get all the details and all the set times and everything that you want to be watching for.
And we're still giving away tickets to both nights, In the Pit and Backstage Passes. You're listening for a song, which is by Menudo. And we're going to play Menudo.
No.
Anything by them, actually. Anything
by Menudo. Right. Menudo. Can you check Kevin's list there, Mike? Does it really say Menudo, or is he reading that wrong?
He's screwing with you. Rico Suave by Gerardo.
Gerardo.
That'll probably be in the 10 o'clock hour.
Just added to,
really helpful.
Just added to Sunday night. And we have the final pair of tickets
yes.
that we're going to give away to both nights in the Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon.
Okay.
So make sure and tune in then to win those tickets.
Wait, does this mean it's Friday? Does this mean it's the end of the show?
Yes.
Are we done?
Yes.
More than we want to admit.
don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed.
Butt hash.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm so high.
Roll another one.
I am so big.
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Smoke weed every day.
And I need another hit.
Lovely Cat Corbett up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Why would you go anywhere when you know that Coldplay is on the way? Also, Nine Inch Nails and Death Cab for Cutie and so much more straight ahead. 40 Minutes K-Rock music next.
Booyah!
Roll! Roll another one.
What was that?
Just like the other one.
You got any weed?
This one seems to be about.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
I don't have another cent.
Why do you smoke marijuana?
It's really very simple. I smoke it because I enjoy it.
No, I'd be against that.
Just pass it around.
Barcelona.
Well, you're just in time for what might be a very unhappy ending.
Well, that was a hard one. It's only going to get harder.
That's what she said.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I see you next week at this time. Will my insurance cover this?
I'll sign off now before I start to cry. May God ride with you. 10-4. And goodbye.
Well, I will see you Monday.
I'm out of here. I gotta go have sex with a lot of girls.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde. And this is the hour, once again, where you can win your final pairs of tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. And it makes sense, doesn't it, Kevin? Because the shows are, you know, like tomorrow and Sunday and
well,
stuff.
Well, sure.
So.
Yeah, that's happening.
So why
soon.
Wait till next week to give away the last tickets? But we'll sure. tell you how to win those coming up in just a few minutes. First,
I've already
though,
got tickets. Don't worry. I'll be there. I'll see you guys backstage. Sick.
Spencer, who let you in?
What do you mean?
Spencer Pratt? Why are you here, Spencer? You're not here because
by.
You want free tickets to Acoustic Christmas, are you?
Why don't you slow your roll? I don't need free tickets from you, bitch, because Brandon Flowers from The Killers already sent me over 4 or 5 tickets with some VIP backstage, and I'm probably going to ride in his helicopter on the way over there.
I hope not.
And we've got matching velour jackets. They're Gucci.
All right. You're a jackal. Listen. Since you're here, Spencer, I got to ask you about this bizarre thing. Of course, you've got the horrible show on MTV called The Hills, which I think is the most successful show in the history of the channel, by the way. And then
the history of television, it's the most successful.
In the history of television?
Yeah. Oh.
And then there's a live show afterwards called The Hills After Show or some BS like this, where they have a couple of hosts who basically just dissect the episode and they have guest stars on and whatnot. And Tom Cruise was on the other day as part of his promotional tour for his new Valkyrie movie, which is the one where he plays the Nazi with the eye patch.
Sick.
Right. And I think we have the tape of somehow, and I don't know why this made sense to the people who are hosting the show, but they decided to talk to Tom Cruise, one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Fascinating dude. I don't know why they would want to waste his time and ours by talking to him about you and your skank ho bitch Heidi, but here's how that conversation went.
Yeah, this is Spencer.
Hey, Spencer.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing? Hello, Spencer.
Hey. Spencer's a little bit of an ass.
By the way, holding up a picture of Spencer. A picture. Spencer wasn't there. It was just a picture of him.
Right.
Okay.
Well, here's what he did recently. His girlfriend wanted a big wedding.
Okay.
Okay, with all her friends and family there. Instead, he took her to Mexico to elope. Should he have done that? What would Tom Cruise have done?
If the girl wants the wedding... You go. Gotta give the wedding. You gotta do the wedding. The girl wants the wedding. She's gonna remember it forever, and you gotta make it a special occasion.
All right. I'm glad you're on side.
You're telling it to Spencer.
Oh, Spencer, dude. Yeah. You'll learn. You'll realize this later.
This is the best advice you've
She made him tell it to the picture.
You know why?
Why, Spencer?
I'm too big time for that show. They can get D-listers like Midget Cruise. But Spence Dog, they can only use the picture because my price tag to show up on that show was actually, I think it was $7.3 billion. Oh, wow. That seems like a lot, but all right.
Well, you know, it's jump change for Spence, dog. You're looking good. Dog. By the way, hey, Kimbo, you're looking good. I like that hoodie.
Thank you.
All right,
it's Gene. Kevin, by the way.
No
we problem, do have... We do have Tom Cruise on the phone. I mean, you're here with us in studio. Tom Cruise is too big a star to join us in person, but he's on the phone right now. We'd like to welcome him into the conversation. Hey, Tom.
I have an eye patch.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. As a Nazi officer, indeed. So they had you on the hills. We're fine, Tom. They had you on the hills after show talking to a photograph of Spencer. What's that about?
Yeah, I thought we were going to talk about the film, and then they showed me a picture of the Spencer guy, and asked about this fictional wedding,
right?
Apparently that they had, and asked me to respond. And you know, the girl wants the wedding; you have to give her the wedding. You know, that's right. What you have to do.
But when they
Spencer,
said
whoever he is or whatever she is, we'll find that out.
She's in studio with us right now. Spencer, say hi to Tom.
Hey. Hi, Spencer. How are you?
Hey, what kind of phone are you talking on? Sounds good. Is that BlackBerry? Is it the new Bold?
Spencer, who are you?
I'm a demigod of entertainment. I'm the king of all pop culture. Say.
Don't be glib. Don't be glib.
I do have a lot of respect for Tom Cruise, by the way, in that he doesn't know who Spencer is and has never heard of the Hills. I wish I could be so lucky.
Well, I think it's easy to avoid.
Yeah?
You just don't read anything about them. You don't watch their show.
Uh-huh.
And you just go see Valkyrie over and over and over again. That's what you do.
That's how you stay away from it?
That's how you avoid Spencer. Just see Valkyrie.
Is that out now?
No, not yet.
Okay, then how are we supposed to see it?
But it will. Just wait for it. Okay. Just line up outside your theater and wait for it.
Wait. Okay.
Wait.
Now, Tom, do you think, and I'm just guessing here, but do you think they asked you the questions about Spencer's wedding because you have so much experience with all the various weddings that you've had throughout the years? I'm just saying you've been divorced a bunch of times.
Don't be good.
Wow.
I've only been married twice. Well, three times if you count Nicole.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Whore.
Oh!
That's something you two can agree on then, I guess, Spencer.
To be honest, I think this guy's the glib one because he had a beautiful skinny blonde and he let her go and now he's got pug face that
Spencer,
needs to lose
Spencer,
weight.
Spencer.
I hold my beautiful blondes. I keep him in check.
Yes,
Todd.
It's hard to say fast.
Yes,
Spencer,
Todd.
Spencer. First of all, she was a redhead. She wasn't a blonde.
Whatever.
And second of all, she was only skinny because I made her that way.
Huh? You did?
That's right. Exercise and vitamins.
That's awesome.
And
you
a
mean
couple
like,
weeks in a tanker in San Pedro.
You imposed that on her? Like
the ultimate weight loss program.
You made her lose weight?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
I think I love you, man. Never mind. That's awesome, Todd.
It's Tom.
Whatever, Chief.
Well, I didn't realize that these two were going to hit it off so well, but it sounds like we've got a love match.
That's fantastic.
Hey. Valkyrie.
It's, of course, the weekend of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Let's say you weren't lucky enough to have bought tickets when they went on sale last night. You haven't been able to win them over the last couple of weeks. You're thinking you're out of luck. Well, there is still one final chance you can win them before the end of this hour. We'll give you a chance to call in. And if you don't get to go to the show in person, it really is the next best thing to watch it at KROQ.com. Bigger and better than ever before. Every second of the music from the stage from both nights this weekend at the Gibson Amphitheater. Backstage stuff, a lot of special stuff. And you've seen some of that on the KROQ.com before. They do a fantastic job with it. Yeah.
It does look great.
It's really cool. But you definitely ought to check that out all weekend long. Join us if you can't be there in person through KROQ.com.
How come I have Kevin's holiday greeting? What's this? I didn't record anything.
Well,
you did actually.
Apparently, we were drugged. We were drugged and taken into a room with a microphone, Kevin. I understand that there's also a Beans Christmas greeting available for download at KROQ.com.
Both you guys did it. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Really? Well, you don't remember a lot.
I just want to wish everybody. This is Kevin. Okay. I just want to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, and wish you all a happiest 4th of July. And be very careful. Be very careful with the fireworks and with the reindeer, because and possums. Be careful, possums. There's one possum wanting to let me in my garage. So, Merry Christmas and have a happy new year.
I can't believe you don't remember recording
that,
Kevin.
Remember that at all? That's weird.
We have some free Christmas tracks available for download through krock.com right now. We didn't put out an album per se this year, but we are giving away some stuff for free. And apparently, I was also chloroformed and thrown in the back of a van and ended up in a studio somehow, because apparently I also have a Christmas greeting on the site.
What are you going to do to celebrate the holidays? This is Bean. And I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. You know, Christmas was my idea. I wrote about it on my blog 4,000 years ago. That was even before Jesus was born. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Okay. Killers are going to be playing this weekend. They're on the bill Sunday night at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008, along with The Cure and Death Cab for Cutie, Franz Ferdinand, Scott Weiland, so much more. Tomorrow night, of course, STP, Offspring, Rise Against, AFI, and others. You know, we have one pair of tickets left, guys. This is it. I mean, this is literally the last pair that's going to be given away.
For both nights, right? In the pit.
Yes,
and backstage
for both nights
pit.
In the pit.
Wow,
that's
really?
Right. It's fantastic. We've saved the best for last, but, I mean, what do you do for that? I mean, that's...
Well, our phone screener, Miss Cleo, is in the studio with us. Miss Cleo, how has this week been answering the phones?
Hell on earth.
And by that, you mean love?
You mean hella good?
A love fest?
No, I mean like the worst week of my life.
Is it making your boobs sad to have to answer all these calls?
It really is. It hurts my boobs. It hurts my heart. But I love K-Rock listeners. But... Y'all need to listen.
Can't you answer three phones at once? One boob for each phone and then your hand talking the other one? Like an octopus just calling, just answering constantly?
I really wish. This past week, I really wish.
All right. So we have one final pair of tickets, and we're thinking caller 1,067. Right?
1067.
That makes a lot of sense. Right? That does make it special.
Lisa, you in on that?
Sure.
Being in on 1,067?
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Although it is the 2008 K-Rock.
Good point.
That's
a good point.
2008.
I'm going to take 1,067.
Even more appropriate.
That's a good point.
No.
I think 2008 is a good number.
No.
Okay.
But how many seats?
No.
How many seats does Gibson have? How many?
5,500.
5,500?
Yeah, approximately.
Well, how about 5,500? Call 5,500.
And if I take caller...
Now, 2,000 doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, how about now?
All right, we'll take caller 2,008.
Oh, why do you guys hate me?
Fantastic.
At 1-800-520-1067, the winner will get tickets in the pit for both nights and backstage passes for both nights.
And we should know who that winner is by about 8:30 tonight. All right, Miss Cleo, thank you very much. You better go answer the phones. They are calling right now.
Bye, guys.
It is Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. Ralph is here with our final showbiz beat of the week. What's going on in Hollywood, Ralph?
I hate to bring you the tragic news, but apparently the Full House remake project is off.
What? What?
Kevin was so shocked he fell into his microphone.
Wow.
That's how stunned he is.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently John Stamos has been pitching a semi-remake of Full House, reuniting some of the original cast and bringing in some new characters to see what's going on in the life of Uncle Jesse and DJ and Stephanie and the rest of the Tanners.
And when is that?
In the year since we've left.
Well, sounds like it's not happening, Kevin.
Hmm. But sadly, Warner Brothers is saying not going to happen.
No!
My God!
It'd be the bearer of bad news, but there will be no Full House remake.
Is it the Olsen twins? Are they the ones who are standing in the way of this happening, or what?
How are the Olsen twins going to make a living, by the way, unless they do this? Where is this next meal going to come from?
They only have $1 billion each or more, so I think they're fine.
How's Jody Sweden going to pay for her meth unless they give her another...
Borrow from the Olsen twins.
Another shot at a series, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things to be considered here.
Sure.
Where's Bob Saget going to find nubile teenage girls to bang unless he's got his own series again on the show?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So it is or is not happening, Ralph?
Not happening.
All right.
Do you bet?
No! God! No! God! Please, no! No!
Wow.
No!
Warner Brothers has also announced that there will be no Gossip Girl spinoff. There have been rumors about a spinoff show for Gossip Girl as well.
Oh, I'm sad.
On CW.
I'm so sad about that news.
How many bomb shows starring the Gossip Girl cast can CW hold? I think one is plenty. Speaking of which, you gotta love Chase Crawford, Blake Lively, Penn Badgley, and Ed Westwick.
Cast of Gossip Girl?
Because the cast of Gossip Girl, not just, Hollywood swingers, not just the It crowd, but now they're branching off into music.
Oh, good. Are they a band?
They are.
Oh, Oh, best case scenario.
Apparently, they all performed recently, like good hipsters, swathed in leather and skinny silk scarves and Ray-Bans at a club on the Lower East Side of New York on Tuesday night.
Yes.
Apparently, Ed Westwick is a front for an English band called the Filthy Youth. And Leighton Meester and Taylor Momsen are also working on their own solo albums.
Right on.
I've heard some of Taylor's, said Penn Badgley, and I really like it. She sounds like Katy Perry.
We have a Katy Perry,
don't
we?
We've already got one.
Yeah.
But, so Gossip Girl music, coming towards you soon.
Right on.
Are you excited?
Next year's Weenie Roast, right there, alone.
By the way, Psycho Mike, no Full House, so the Weenie Champion. The Twilight sequel, New Moon, has a new director. Catherine Hardwicke got the boot after experiencing creative differences with the producers. The second film will be helmed by Chris Weitz of the Weitz Brothers, who brought us American Pie and About a Boy. Chris also directed on his own The Golden Compass, which is a fantasy film as well. And they think he's got the chops to handle New Moon. Look, they could have me direct New Moon and it'd be a hit. So I think this is safe.
What about me?
No.
Even you, Kara. Right. Even you could direct.
Excellent. Lisa, thank you.
The vampire. Wolf.
Ben's new script. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Bob Barker, game show host extraordinaire and advocate for lopping the genitals off of animals. He is 85 years old today. Doesn't sound quite as kind when you put it that way.
No, it doesn't.
No, a lot of people respect what Mr. Barker has done with his life. A lot of animals really pissed off at him.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Look at me. No nuts. That's me. Speaking as a dog.
Sure.
Jennifer Connelly's 38 years old today. She's got a new movie coming out today as well, The Day the Earth Stood Still. And Mayim Bialik is 33 years old. She was the legendary Blossom in the TV series of the same name. I think there should be a Blossom reunion. That's what I would see. I would see Blossom and Six get back together.
There you go.
And go on the road like Thelma and Louise robbing banks. I'm going to call my agent. I'll be right back. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, are you hearing, before you go and we head out for the weekend, you hearing anything about the Full House reunion? That's on or off right
no,
now?
No, apparently that's been canceled.
Oh, brothers, my God!
No Full House reunion.
No! I'm going to kill myself! No!
That's Dave Coulier, by the way, screaming.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, right. Kevin, what does anybody need to know about the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows this weekend?
What does anybody need to know? Really?
You go to krock.com, and you can watch every second of it. There's a digital program on there that you can turn the pages and look at it.
Oh, wow.
It's really, there's a lot of stuff up there.
It's uncut, uncensored,
that's
right?
Correct.
It's 100% of the show
backstage
all the time.
Backstage stuff. Psycho Mike's going to be hosting it, talking about that reunion that's supposed to be happening
the
with Full House.
Reunion? No, it's canceled. Didn't I tell you?
So everything that you could possibly want is there.
I don't know what the chances are that we will return Monday morning. It hasn't been going well so far for the Kevin and Bede show this week. We got another meeting.
Meeting
in a minute, so we'll find out.
What do you say, Lisa? Spanky. I'm coming back.
Have a great Christmas,
Daddy's
everybody.
Daddy's got a mortgage.
All right. Well, it could be Ralph Garman.
I'll be spinning your favorite Christmas hits on Monday. I don't care.
All right.
I'll be playing Christmas Shoes over and over again. Whatever they want, I'm doing it.
Well, they don't want that.
Well, maybe. You'll see.
All right. Well, we'll find out on Monday. But in the meantime, don't go anywhere. Nicole Alvarez is up next with 60 minutes nonstop K-Rock, uninterrupted commercial-free music just for you, including the Kings of Leon, also Korn, Weezer, Linkin Park, The Cure, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.